about.
Watch out, everyone. It's all bad.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It's a pretty quiet party, Murray.
It's only just started, Jermaine. Look at Brett. He's having a good time. Hey, Brett. You think it's rocking now? You wait till Jim gets here. It's going to be twice this. It's like a one-man party.
Well, does he need us then?
All right. Hey, great to see you again. Welcome back, man. A pleasure, man. Y'all keep rocking, okay?
Thank you.
I'll see you all, folks. The people love him.
My, my. What an amusingly misguided view.
Girl, you make me want to get you pregnant. Knock you up.
Hi, Callie.
Whoa. I know how babies are made, and I am so not in the mood for porn right now.
And now.
Let me tell you something, sisters. Checking IDs is essential because these boys will lie.
Our feature presentation.
That's very true.
Yeah.
That is very true.
Not girls, only boys.
Yeah, no girls.
Why about their age?
That's true. Morning, everybody. It's an all new Kevin and Bean show. It's a Monday morning.
Nothing better than a Monday morning.
What's happening?
What's happening is, have we ever done a phone topic on female sex addicts?
I don't care. We should do it again.
I don't remember us ever talking about that before. Do you?
Mm-mm. No, I don't think so.
Well, there's one in the news today, and I was fascinated by this story. It comes from the Daily Mail in the UK. She's in the news because she attacked a bouncer, kicked him, and spit on him. Now,
well, that's sex?
No. She says she gets crazy when she gets drunk, and she's controlling her drinking now. But she says what also happens when she drinks is that she gets unbelievably horny and can think of nothing else but sex. And by the way, there's a picture of this woman in the Daily Mail.
Don't you tell me she's hot.
I'm telling you she's hot.
What?
I am telling you she is hot. A self-confessed female sex addict is who she is. Shannon Flynn, 27 years old, says she is prone to violence if her boyfriend does not satisfy her in the bedroom. Again, it's
excellent.
She's got dual problems going on here. Alcoholism and sex addiction at the same time, but one seems to feed the other.
If I were her boyfriend, I would just give her nothing but alcohol.
Well, here's
want some cereal? Here you go.
It's filled with vodka.
Here's the problem. She's in counseling once a week now. She says she doesn't have a boyfriend, which is a good idea for her right now. She says she really needs to take a year off. When we were together, I think he was more the girl and I was more the guy, so I'm staying away from men now. She said that even after she would have sex a couple times during the day, she would still crave it again later. And if she was not satisfied, if her boyfriend could not provide, she became moody and violent. She demanded sex at least 4 times a day.
All right. Now, that might be a bit much.
That's a lot.
She claimed to have slept with how many men over the last 10 years, would you guys imagine?
Oh.
Probably just the one.
300.
I was expecting something closer to what you're saying, Lisa, but she admits to sleeping with over 70 men, which, you know, that's just college.
That's good in 3 years.
That's just college, though, right?
Sure. All of.
Several one-night stands, several casual affairs. She also admitted during the interview that she threw her cell phone at one lover who denied her sex. I'm usually not violent, but my desire for sex takes over all of my senses. She says if she's unable to satisfy her sexual desires, the withdrawal symptoms were horrendous.
What?
Hardly anyone can understand what I'm going through on a daily basis. Every hour of the day, all I can think about is sex. And if you're just joining us, again, says Shannon Flynn, 27.
And hot.
And very attractive. I mean, really good body, pretty good face. I'll send you the picture if you want to
all
see
right.
it.
Yeah, I would like to. She's not a 10 by any means, but
usually the
sex addicts are threes, and you go, no.
Right. I mean, you would, I think you would look at her on the street. I do. She's a goer, though.
Yeah, but what pressure, you know?
Yeah, that'd be rough.
If it's time for the day, and and you got to satisfy her or she's going to get mad.
Right.
You know, you got to really, that's a lot of pressure on a day.
It's too much pressure. Too much pressure for one man, I think.
She needs a stable.
Right.
She needs to move in with, like, I don't know, 8 guys.
Exactly.
They just have a rotating cast.
Exactly. So please mark that down. We need to find out if there are any female sex addicts in the Kevin and Bean audience, and when can we do a party machine and invite them?
You want to have sex?
No. No.
Yeah.
No. You don't tell her that.
That's where the trouble begins, right there. Next thing you know, she's throwing your cell phone at her, you know?
Wow, female sex addict.
That's right? Bizarre.
That gets violent. That's the nice twist.
Yeah, it's not a nice twist, I don't think, because, you know, you're vulnerable when you're a guy. And then things don't work out, and then she gets angry, and then...
Right.
Could be bad.
And then things go away.
So. Right.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I appreciate what you're trying to do, but once you go in there, you will see things you cannot unsee.
That's correct, yes. Female sex addicts, all day. I'm going to start right now, and we're going to finish at about, noon. That's going to be the show. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Yeah.
Talking about all the celebrities and everything that went on over the weekend. Nobody keeps up like that site. I'll tell you, they update that site secondly. You go back a minute later, there's a whole new story.
Celebrities are very busy.
They are.
Yeah.
And they are trying their best to screw up, and TMZ is there for us. So we're going to talk to Harvey and find out what went on over the weekend. We're going to talk to Andrew Siciliano about a little sport that I watched some of this weekend called football.
Yeah. And I've heard about it, but I thought it was just a myth.
It was sweet. So good to watch. And you watch the NFL Network, and they've been playing all of the preseason games, and then they'll repeat them. And I didn't care. I just, I was on the second time of watching the same game going, it's all right. This is good. And my Arizona Cardinals got the only win we're going to get this season, so that's awesome.
Yay. Congratulations.
Beat the Raiders. So in a game of teams that are not going to do anything, there you go. We have Jack Passan.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait.
On the show today. Now, this is the Michael Jordan of beard growing.
Yes.
And I don't know if you've heard us talk about Whisker Wars. It's on the Independent Film Channel, IFC. And it is one of the best shows ever.
Did you watch it this weekend, Kevin?
Yeah.
Is it awesome or not?
I caught up on it. And it's just, it's one of those things that's so, you could never imagine, A, that this world exists where people care that much about facial hair. But, B, they care so much about it that it's just they have their villains and they have their heroes and they consider themselves athletes and they're training and they have competitions and they have the Kobe Bryant of the world who we're having in today, who may be one of the best basketball players in the world, but a lot of people hate him.
Uh-huh.
This is Jack Passan. That's the guy that's going to come in today.
And Jack's the bad boy of bearding, don't you know?
He's the bad boy of bearding. And he won the World Beard Championship, or whatever they call it, 2 years.
Right.
So, listen.
Yeah, he's a two-time champion, but he is he's got a mark on his forehead, man. Every other competitive beardsman wants to bring Jack Passan down, and it doesn't help that he's so boastful. I mean, he compares himself to Muhammad Ali, but he says he's got the skills to back it up.
Ali of bearding.
It's so crazy, Lisa, because they'll go and they'll compete in, Dayton, Ohio, and then they'll be like, all right, see you next week at the New York City event, and then they'll fly out to New York City and compete, be competitive bearding there.
It's unbelievable. Do they have sponsors and stuff?
Well, I don't know. I didn't hear anything about sponsors, but they all have beard coaches. I know that.
They do have coaches. This is my beard coach. You go, what?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it's one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen, and it's one of those things where you just go, I didn't even know that world existed, let alone to this level.
I'm so happy we're having Mr. Passan in today, and I will say this, and perhaps this goes without saying, he's got a pretty sweet beard.
Well, he is the world champ.
I know. I mean, but really, when you just break it down, it's a pretty impressive beard.
Right. But I wonder if he has he can't possibly have the self-awareness to go, look, however good my beard is, it's just a beard.
Right. It's like being the greatest marble player in the world.
Exactly.
At some point, you have to go, yeah, but it's marbles.
You could kick ass, but you're still playing marbles, so
right.
That's a lose.
Well, I can't wait to explore what's going on in Jack's world. You know, he wrote the book on this, Lisa. He's the author of the best-selling facial hair handbook, right?
He literally wrote the book.
Yes, he literally wrote the book. Yeah. Right. And as I said last week, we were talking about the show. I thought the extent of the book would be don't shave.
Don't
but
shave.
Apparently there's more to it than that.
Yeah, I don't understand how they're athletes. I don't understand how they compete.
I mean, imagine there's like nutrition. Like they find out if they eat a certain way, their hair grows faster.
Maybe.
And that could take years to really fine tune.
I guess.
You know, certain products.
I know one guy gets up and takes about an hour every morning to... He's got several brushes, several. So he starts off with the one brush to get the knots out. And then, yeah, it's one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen.
There was a guy on This Weekend Show, and I know we have to move on, Lisa, that you will love so much. His beard was over 5 feet long, and he said he does nothing to it. He doesn't comb it. He does nothing to it. The only thing he does to it is occasionally pees on it.
What?
Why?
Because it's in the way. Because it's 5 feet long.
It's
not
on purpose.
No, it's not on purpose. That's not part of his grooming plan. It's just how it happens.
His secret weapon,
right.
Pee.
They don't know. I figured it out.
Oh, I'm glad he's not coming
so,
in.
So, Whisker Wars. Name of that show. So, we're going to have Jack Passion in. We also are going to talk about surgery nightmares.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. No, please. Please.
This is what we like to do is encourage people. That's what we're about. So Bean's going to have surgery tomorrow. So we figured we would have surgery nightmares.
Of course.
I don't
think
that
that's... People waking up in the middle.
People waking up. Yeah.
I've got enough going on
removing
right now.
Removing the wrong limb.
Oh, come on.
Sure. That happens from time to time. Wrong ball.
I don't need any kind of additional pressure. I'm already nervous enough about the surgery.
Yeah, so we're just going to help people call in.
Come on.
Yeah, people die from anesthesia.
Sometimes that happens, yeah.
I can hear you guys.
Not very often, but they do. I mean, it is possible.
Yeah, they tell you that.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to take some surgery nightmare calls coming up next hour, and we are going to announce our latest breakfast.
Ooh. How about that?
Got a huge breakfast show, which is us, you, tiny location, giant band, food, about half the time. I'd say we're 50-50 on breakfast.
Yeah, at best.
But then the band plays, and then you get to ask them questions, and it's pretty cool. So we're going to announce our latest one and start giving away tickets this morning on The Kevin and Bean Show.
One of our favorite guests is magician Penn Jillette. It's hard to believe we're talking about magicians in the 21st century, but he's awesome, right?
He's really the only one.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, maybe Copperfield, if you go see his show, he's decent, but Penn & Teller really is the only magic show to recommend.
And I agree.
And I don't have that category of recommending magicians. So
exactly. So we love Penn, and he'll be joining us right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, in for Ralph Garman just today. He'll be back the whole rest of the week. We got to look at the showbiz beat. The biggest showbiz story of the week, unfortunately, was a tragedy, and I'm sure you've seen the video many, many times about the stage collapsing at the Indiana State Fair on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Didn't see that. Not good.
Oh, and I have mixed feelings about this. They keep showing this on the news about every 5 minutes. I mean, you're watching people die every time they show that video on TV, and doesn't that seem weird to you that they would continue to show something like that over and over again? If you had a video of a car accident where people died, would you think the news would show that video of the accident happening?
It kind of surprises me.
Yes. I think they just don't get it on tape.
Yeah, maybe so. Well, the Indiana State Fair, like, you know, state fairs all over the country this time of year, has lots of different musical acts. And Saturday night happened to be the country superstar act called Sugarland. Sarah Bareilles was the opening act. She had already performed. Sugarland was getting ready to come up on the stage. And I feel like the fair was aware that there was bad weather in the area. They had been in touch frequently, including within a few minutes of when the stage ended up collapsing. And they knew that this thunderstorm warning was happening. They even have made an announcement that said, hey, some heavy rain looks like it's coming. Be prepared to take shelter. But it's so impossible to predict wind. You know, it can be 40-mile-an-hour wind over here and 60-mile-an-hour wind over there, and sometimes that makes the difference. And it just blew down the staging, and I guess once a little bit of it started to tip, the whole thing came down, killed 5 people, injured more than 40 others. This is just a few weeks after that stage collapsed in Ottawa that Cheap Trick was on stage for, you remember? I mean, it's serious business. You just expect when you go to a show, and we've all been to shows, these big outdoor shows, you look at the stage and you go, well, that's pretty solid.
Well, of course.
That's not going anywhere. The last thing you expect is going to fall down on you. But, you know, the old saying, we've been saying it for years on this show, you know, 1 minute you've got good seats for a Sugarland concert, the next minute you're dead. I mean, it's never been more true than it was this past weekend.
I don't remember saying that, but...
That's my motto. I've got that tattooed on my back.
I think that means God hates country music.
No.
Well, I don't think the act was the problem here, right?
That's how I read it. Mary J. Blige has been drinking some Kool-Aid, apparently. She's talking about Tom Cruise And the Grammy Award-winning diva tells AbsoluteNow.com that her Rock of Ages co-star, Tom Cruise, is quite gifted, doesn't need any vocal coaching, and can flat out do anything.
Wow. I've heard that he can actually sing, but it seemed like if you're not a professional singer and you're in a movie where you're singing, that maybe anyone could use coaching.
Right. My point is, even if you can sing and you have a great voice, you can benefit from coaching.
Sure.
But
right.
Not Tom. He doesn't even need coaching.
Wow.
That's how good he is.
Maybe that's something they teach you on the spaceship. Maybe that just comes with the territory. I don't know. The Game is back in the news. At one time, a very popular rapper. I guess he still has some fans, but it's been a long time since he's done a record that I've really, really liked. I don't know, this doesn't seem like the wisest thing in the world, but he tweeted over the weekend that he was going to be looking for an intern. Here's my phone number. I'm going to be picking people to intern here with me, men or women, anyone can call. And the phone number that he tweeted was for the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department office in Compton. Now, doesn't it seem like if you're going to prank someone, you don't pick the police? Because doesn't it seem like maybe they, you know, as opposed to the pizza place that you might tweet their number, it seems like the police have some real options to come back at you, right?
Well, they certainly do, yeah. They have an option or two.
Thousands of followers of the Game started calling the police station, tying up phone lines. The sheriff's captain there says, you can't do that. You're compromising public safety. People who are trying to call the police department can't get through at this point. So there's no word yet whether LA County prosecutors are going to press charges. But that seems ill-advised.
Well,
the Game.
An update this morning that he's blaming it on a friend.
Somebody hijacked my Twitter feed.
But I also heard that they are going to press charges.
Oh, man. Yeah. Can you imagine the receptionist's first call? Yeah, we like to speak to the Game. Sorry? What? Who? What?
Hey, but can you imagine the receptionist's 5,000th call?
Same thing, yeah.
No, there's no internship.
Snooki continues to make headlines with her idiocy. She was talking to the New York Post, page 6. And she says that maybe she should have learned Italian before heading to Florence.
Oh, you
really?
Think?
She's just now starting to come around to that particular idea.
Like, well, shut up, Snooki.
Like she could learn Italian, first of all.
Good point.
Yeah. I guess we learned on last week's Jersey Shore that the kids were very confused by all the Italian writing on every item in the supermarket. Why don't they just put it in English?
Yeah, they were completely baffled. And she went on to say she had, quote, no idea what was going on, really, and was shocked to discover that there's a whole world out there that's not the same as hers.
Would any of those kids have gone to Europe without this show? Don't they just strike you as people that would have never left the East Coast?
Not even the state.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they might, you know, of course they went to Miami on their show, but it seems like they might be the kind of people who would go looking for a party, but never outside the United States.
No.
Yeah. Anyone see any movies over the weekend?
I
saw 30 seconds or less. 30 minutes or less.
How was that?
How was it?
It was not quite as good as we thought.
That's what I heard.
What was wrong with it? Great cast.
Yes, great cast, great performances. Aziz Ansari, I'll watch in anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's hilarious.
I don't know. The sum of the parts did not equal more. You know what I mean? It's just it didn't gel somehow. It was close.
Right. You don't regret it, though. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't as good as you hoped it would be.
It just wasn't. It was a ground rule double, Bean. It wasn't a home run.
How about you, Lisa? What'd you see?
I didn't see anything. I was watching True Blood DVDs.
Sweet.
Okay.
I just started on the first season.
Sweet.
I got through the first four, like, instantly. Yeah. It's great. Yeah.
The Rise of the Planet of the Apes repeated at the top of the weekend box office, another $27.5 million. That's a movie that people seem to like.
Yeah.
Debuting at number two this weekend was The Help, the only movie that I care about, the one I've been looking forward to forever. I still didn't go see it, but
same
it was
here.
Number two this weekend.
My wife went and saw it, and she said it was great.
Yeah.
That's
which
what I hear.
Is good, considering it came from a book, and usually that is a bad transition.
I mean, the feeling I get is this is like the first of the fall Oscar movies. Is The Help. You know, like, look, we're starting to see those kinds of movies that people might release and get nominations out of. Final Destination 5 came in at number 3 with $18.5 million over the weekend. Then The Smurfs, Kevin, you're 30 minutes or less, debuted at number 5. Cowboys and Aliens, Captain America, Crazy Stupid Love, number 8. Harry Potter at 9. The Change Up at number 10.
Celebrity birthdays today. Actor Anthony Anderson, 41. Ben Affleck is 39. Natasha Henstridge is 37. By the way, the word they can't say beat in 30 minutes or less is entrepreneurial.
No way!
Yep, they have so much trouble saying it, it's unbelievable.
It took me like 15 years to learn how to say entrepreneur.
And yep. Then you still say it that way.
And they have the exact same problem moving.
It's a
like,
very
what?
Difficult word.
No, that's the only word Bean can't say. Actress Jennifer Lawrence, who's in the Hunger Games.
Oh, look at her.
21 years old. But the reason we celebrate today, let's be honest.
Yeah?
Singer. Joe Jonas of the Jonas Brothers is 22 years old, and that's your showbiz beat.
I don't want to get everybody excited or worked up here, but you know we're announcing our new breakfast next hour, the latest Kevin and Bean breakfast. We have Big Band Little Place. We've done it for years. We've, you know, everybody from U2 to Foo Fighters to No Doubt, I mean, you name it, we've done it. We've never done Harvey Danger. I'm just saying. Harvey Danger is still on the to-do list. We do have an announcement in an hour. Who knows? Today could be the day.
I know, and I'm going to say right now that we're not doing a breakfast with Harvey Danger.
Oh,
how dare you?
Buzzkill.
Back to you.
All right, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday. Look, I don't need you guys to make this any worse for me than it is.
No, but that's
we're helping.
That's what we do.
Right, but I look. I'm going to.
We take situations.
That's what you do, Bean.
So. We take situations and we make them worse, and you are the king of that world.
Yes.
How dare you? This is me, Bean, speaking, and you probably have missed this if you haven't paid very close attention, but I've had an expanding and soon to be exploding belly button for the past few years, and it has gotten worse and it has gotten bad, and now it's getting to the point where it's purple and throbbing. You know all about that, Lisa.
Oh. That's a good thing.
We put a photo up of my exploding belly button, which, by the way, I think I saw at the Troub once. Mm-hmm. It's up as the picture of the day on KevinandBean.com from this past Friday. So it's gotten to the point now. It's like the worst thing you've ever seen, isn't
it,
Alex?
Dave had it up on the computer as he was posting it, and I thought he had pulled up some like illegal sex site in the office. I was like, oh, what is that?
Yeah, don't look at it.
It's not good.
No, it's terrible. But it's gotten to the point now. It's herniated. I actually have a hernia on my belly button, and I need to have surgery on it. And they cut into your belly button, and then I guess they put some sort of a little screen in it to block a hole, I guess.
Sweet.
So I'm terrified of the surgery. Terrified.
Why?
Well, first of all, I haven't had surgery since I was about 9. Okay.
Right.
So it's a very foreign thing to me. And my life was changed irrevocably a few years ago it's like the people, remember the first time you saw that ABC News special where they showed you all the stuff that's on the blankets and the pillows at the hotel rooms when they went in there with the black light? And you could never enjoy a hotel room the rest of your life because you know that it's just nothing but
sex everywhere.
I wish I
everywhere,
seen
right?
That.
I wish I hadn't seen that. That's the special that I saw about anesthesia awareness honked me up for the rest of my life because now all I can think about are those poor people on that show who were given anesthesia. The first part work where they were completely paralyzed and couldn't talk or move. The second part where they were supposed to go under didn't work, and they felt everything that was happening in the surgery.
It happens all the time.
It doesn't happen all the time. They had a guy on that show, Kevin, you remember, who went in for open heart surgery. He was awake and could feel as they cracked his ribs apart.
Mm. Oh,
and
ouch.
Ever since I saw that show, I thought, I don't ever want to go under anesthesia again. And I know it's a relatively minor operation they're doing tomorrow, but what if that happens to me?
Well, it will.
No, it's not going to.
It's going to hurt like hell. That's what.
Alex is here to share one of her fine anecdotes with you to
Good
cheer
morning.
You up.
Yes, Bean, I'm here to cheer you up and tell
what
you
what happened.
That it happened to me.
What?
It did.
Same thing.
I woke up during anesthesia. I was in high school and I was getting all four of my wisdom teeth pulled at once. And so they said to my mom, you know, we should just knock her out. And I had never been under, so I thought, okay, you know.
Dentists and they pull them all out at once? That's weird.
So I go in, I'm in the office, I get in the stupid little robe, you know, and I totally get knocked out. And then at some point I had this feeling like I was waking up from a nap, and then I had this shooting pain in my mouth, and I was like, ugh! And I woke up and I remember seeing like a fuzzy outline of a nurse, and then the dentist, and then someone patting my shoulder and saying,
it's okay.
That
wasn't your shoulder.
It's okay. And then they must have just turned up, you know, cranked the dial to 11, and then I just passed back out.
Oh, no.
But you still remember it.
Oh, totally.
You said something, excuse me, Kevin, I'm sorry, but just a final PS on this. You said something in your email yesterday, Alex, about it had something to do with your hair color. What was that about?
Yes, apparently blondes and redheads need more anesthesia. So let your doctor know if you're natural or not.
Yeah. That sounds crazy.
We are pussies. You got to knock us out.
But
we're not pussies.
You're the opposite of it. Yeah. You have to give more anesthesia. I've never heard that.
Well, that's why you woke up, Kevin.
That's weird. I woke up twice, by the way.
You woke up too?
In the same surgery?
No. No, one surgery the whole time I was awake. And yelling.
But what were they doing to you?
It was a procedure on my back, and they were putting needles in.
Wait, were you supposed to be out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But you were yelling the kind where they could hear you, not the kind where you were paralyzed and you couldn't move
that
and couldn't talk, right?
That particular time, I was yelling, yeah.
Okay, all right. Thank God they could hear you and not just keep working
Didn't
on you without knowing.
Didn't change anything.
Oh, really?
No.
Clubbing you over the head?
You know what's weird about the anesthesia, especially the propofol,
yes,
the Michael Jackson drug, is that some of them have these memory erasers, which is really weird because I had a test done on me one time and they said, if it hurts, that means it's bad. And so I woke up from the procedure and I said, hey, this is great because, it didn't hurt. And they were like, oh, no, you were screaming like crazy. And I said, why do I not remember that? And they said it has that property in it that will help you forget.
Oh, dear God.
But that doesn't always work, Bean.
Dude, that's Inception talk right there. That's Inception. Crazy.
It's like Men in Black.
It does.
It's done.
Well, listen, I'm not excited about this surgery, and I know that there are so many things that can go wrong. And the guys thought it would be fun for me to hear your tales of surgery woes. So if you've had experiences where, I don't know, Lisa, you were saying earlier where they cut off the wrong body part or whatever. You went in for one surgery, you came out with something else. Anesthesia nightmares are my absolute biggest fear, though.
Maybe in life.
But I'm saying we got room for all.
I know, but if that's your biggest fear, let's stick to anesthesia.
How dare you?
I mean, I think that's probably how we can help you best. So we'll take your calls, 1-800-520-1067, and we'll talk.
I'm not looking forward to these calls.
Come on now. We're trying to prop you up, man.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to be sick. Joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, it's me, Bean, having surgery on my herniated belly button tomorrow. And I'm worried about all the things that can go wrong because I hear horror stories from the operating table all the time, especially those involving anesthesia. People who wake up before the surgery is done or feel it when they're not supposed to. And that's what I'm afraid of most. Let's talk to Tony on line one. And taking your calls here at 1-800-520-1067, your surgery disasters. Tony, thank you so much for holding on, dude. What happened to you?
Good morning, Kevin Bean.
Hi.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Tony.
I had eye surgery. I had a work injury. And I was on the surgery on the operating table. And I started to come to. And I told the doctor was doing the surgery, I can feel it. And he tried to act like I was dreaming or something. He told me, oh, no, you don't. And then he whispered something. I can hear him whispering something to another doctor there because I started to pull all the stuff off me because I was in it. I could feel it.
Oh, God.
It was part of it.
Man.
I had a work injury, so they were inside my eye doing the procedure. And it was one of the worst pains I've ever felt when I woke up. So I started to drag everything off of me.
Did they knock you back out?
Yeah, they knocked me back out so bad that when I woke up, I was nauseated for hours.
Sweet.
Hours and hours.
Oh, that's good.
This, by the way, I didn't see, thank you for the call, Tony. I didn't see the Final Destination 5, but in the trailer, they show a girl laying down on a table and they've got the bracket around her head to stop it from moving and her eyeballs are, wide open and they're bringing a needle down and stuff. And I'm thinking, that's exactly the kind of thing Tony's talking about. I mean, it's like a horror movie if something like that happened to you, and then you wake up while they're doing the procedure.
Yeah, it's 100% of the time, too, Bean.
Oh, come on!
It is. It's 100%. That's science.
Let's try Gene. Gene is on line two here on the Kevin Beecher. Hi, Gene. Welcome to the show, man. What's going on?
Hi, good morning. What do you call it? My situation was I had an endoscopy where they stuck it up your rear end.
Sweet!
Oh, man.
Again, it's a camera, right, or whatever?
Yeah, it was a camera, and then I woke up, and I could feel it in my stomach, and I was, like, squirming. I don't know if I screamed or whatever, and then I remember looking at the video of it. So while I was awake, I could see with my internals on the screen.
Oh, dude.
That seems bad.
Were you able to, kind of get them to up the anesthesia a little bit for you?
Yeah, they did that, but then I woke up again when they re-entered the endoscopy, or whatever they call it, when it goes down your throat.
Mm. You fucking made for that!
That's true. That is true. Wow, you woke up twice, Bean. Think of that.
Oh, good come call. On. Gene, thank you for the call. I hate that so much. All right, let's talk to Brett real quick. He's on line six. We've been talking about the anesthesia and how that can go wrong. There's a lot of other things that can go wrong with you getting surgery, right, Brett?
Yeah,
this seems like it happened more a long time ago, but how long ago was this surgery?
About 6 years ago.
6 years, okay.
Not that long ago.
All right, what happened?
What were you in for?
I went in for a scheduled knee surgery.
Okay.
And the guy in the bed next to me was there to get his appendix taken out.
Uh-oh.
And somehow our charts got switched, and the nurse came in and asked me if I was ready to go, and I had already had a Valium, so I said, yep. And I woke up a couple hours later and with a shooting pain across my stomach and lifted the gown up, and I had received they had taken my appendix out, so I had to stay in the hospital and go back in and have my knee opened up.
Sweet. But the guy next to you still had his
appendix,
but he had a rebuilt knee.
Did they do him also? You don't know, right? That's unbelievable. I mean, look, I only know about thank you very much for the call, though. I only know what I see on TV mostly. But don't they literally write on your body now what body part is supposed to be operated on because of the guys who have gone in and get the wrong leg taken off or whatever?
I don't know.
Amazing. Yeah. A lot of ways this can go wrong tomorrow.
Yeah, and also when you wake up from anesthesia, at least for me, I just feel so nauseated.
Yeah, that's one of the side effects.
Awful.
And that's when it goes well.
Yeah.
Let's take one more, Bean, because we do have Ryan who had the surgery that you're having, or at least.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Hey, Lisa.
Pretty close.
Hi.
Hi. I had a hernia on my stomach, and so they went in to do surgery on that. And halfway through the surgery, the doctor cut off the anesthesia to wake me up and then forced me to cough while he had his hands inside my stomach. And was
what?
So this was on purpose he brought you back.
Oh, yes, he brought me back.
I don't want to go to your doctor.
And then he made you part of a human centipede?
That's how these stories always end.
Bean's going to be part of a human centipede.
Oh, no.
Ask to be the front, Bean.
I will. Latest Kevin and Bean Breakfast with, announced for you next hour here on the show, also the bad boy of bearding, Jack Passion himself from IFC's Whisker Wars is going to be joining us, and Harvey Levin from TMZ.com as well. Ralph Garman is out today. If you saw him at one of his popular podcast tapings with Kevin Smith over the weekend, maybe you know why.
I believe he's still wandering Vegas.
Yes.
I think it's very possible, yes. They were there Friday and Saturday, and apparently he's needed this much time to recover. But he'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, filling in for the Showbiz Beat this hour, producer Alex.
Good morning, everybody. I'm hoping for breakfast with Afro Man.
Yeah.
That's what I'm crossing my fingers for, that one.
A lot of breakfast.
Let's see if we can do it. I would like to start off the Showbiz with a little giveaway. Are you guys familiar with the film One Day?
No. Oh, this is with what's-her-face?
Yes, that would be Anne Hathaway,
right?
AKA
yeah, I've heard about it.
Oh, I just saw a trailer yesterday.
And British hottie Jim Sturgis from Across the Universe in 21 with Kevin Spacey. It's based on a best-selling book, I think a New York Times best-selling book, that kind of has a cool idea. It follows two friends from their college graduation. They hook up the night of their college graduation and then follows them for about 20 years on the same day at the same time. So you can see where, you know, sort of each of them has progressed and how they intertwine through one of each other's lives. So we're going to give you a little package. You get a score, a pair of passes to the Kevin and Bean screening of One Day, dinner for two, and a pair of tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood.
I want it.
Don't say I didn't do anything for you.
You don't get it.
I want it.
First three callers to
you
Chip
don't listen.
At 800-520-1067. We'll have a chance to win this package. One Day opens in theaters Friday, August 19th. Are you large and in charge but need to lose weight? That would be me. My hand would go up right now. My favorite show, Biggest Loser. Anyone else?
No.
Oh,
no,
seriously?
I don't hate it, but it's not my favorite.
I don't care for fat people. You know that, Alex.
Shut up, Bean.
Anyway.
What?
Biggest Loser is casting for its next season. It's going to start in January. You'll like this, though, Kevin and Bean. Yeah. Jillian left. My girl Jillian, the trainer who scares people and yells at them.
She is scary.
But I love her. And they replaced her with Anna Kournikova.
What? I love The Biggest Loser. It's my favorite show.
It's the best show ever.
Anna's hot and she's in shape.
But she's not a trainer.
Yeah, she did a guest stint last season and I was not a fan. Her personality is a little missing.
Well, you're watching with the volume up. What's the point of that?
That's true. But if you would like to have a chance to get on this next season, you can apply as a team of two or an individual. You have to need to lose at least 85 pounds.
Wow.
Well, yeah, it's biggest. I mean, it's basically morbidly obese people.
Right now, people are in their car going, who else do I know that's fat?
Or how much can I eat to get to 85 pounds?
Right.
The California location is going to be in Los Angeles at the Citadel Outlets on Saturday, August 27th, starting at 10 a.m. You can go to thebiggestlosercasting.com. Thebiggestlosercasting.com. Don't call
Overweight people have it hard enough being disgusting without you making fun of them.
We're not making fun of them. We're saying they can be on TV.
Oh, what I'm saying is don't call Chip and go, what's the website for The Biggest Loser Casting? It's thebiggestlosercasting.com, people. Get on it. The game needs to learn some Twitter etiquette, is all I'm saying. Apparently, the game can now face criminal charges after he tweeted the phone number of the sheriff's station in Compton, California, but told people it was the number to call for an internship. Oh. Hilarious.
I find that funny.
Cops love that. It apparently caused the station's phone lines to become overrun with calls and then delayed real emergency services.
Ooh, yeah. Not good.
If my house is on fire or my dad's having a heart attack, I don't need to deal with the shenanigans of the game and his internship. The calls began around 5:30 p.m. and stopped at around 8 after...
Your dad's having a heart attack and an intern possibility shows
right.
up at your house
it's not
for
good.
The game.
Sheriff's Captain Mike Parker eventually tweeted the game and told him to, you know, stop it. According to the sheriff's department, they plan on turning over a complaint to the district attorney's office to possibly file charges, including delaying or obstructing a peace officer in performance of their duties.
Is it? I'm sorry. I mean, how often? I mean, oh, man, nobody thinks that's funny?
Well, here's what the game tweeted in response.
Yes.
Y'all can track a tweet down, but can't solve murders. Dat was an accident, but maybe now y'all can actually do y'all job.
Yeah.
No.
Put him in a place.
Really? Yeah. I want to put him in a body bag, Johnny. That's what
nice.
I want to do.
No wonder they're going to file
shut
charges.
Shut up the game. Yeah, just shut up.
Shut up the game.
Just shut up the game.
His first name is The. Just say it.
Stop it. Box office this weekend. Big disappointment for Glee 3D. Omar must have scared everybody away. Didn't even crack the top 10.
Yeah, I was going to say, I did it last hour. There wasn't even a mention of Glee 3D. Was it in limited release or just nobody went?
I don't think so.
I think nobody went because it's hard when you transition a television show to a film that's still on the air. Like, Sex and the City did well because there wasn't any other place people could watch it
right.
except
right.
on DVDs. But if I've got a current season of Glee on the air, why am I going to pay $18 a ticket in 3D?
And a live tour.
Right.
That goes
right.
out, which is what this is.
It's a little Glee overload.
And A, you've seen these songs sung on the show, most of them, right? And it's not like there was a plot line. It's not like you're going to find out what happens in the story. It's just a concert film, right?
Right. Correct. It's basically a behind-the-scenes documentary and then their concert film. But number one was Rise of the Planet of the Apes again with about $27 million. The Help came in at number two at $25 million. And Final Destination 5, seriously, this is it.
Seriously.
I'm telling you.
And when we say this is it, we mean.
At about $18 million, and the Glee film came in at number 11 with just about $5 million bucks.
Ouch.
Which is basically covered the, you know, I don't know, costume cost. Craft service table. That was about it.
For a little precious.
Yeah, exactly. Baby Brigade, they're just popping out left and right of celebrities, babies.
Yep.
Just
yes.
popping out.
Mm-hmm.
David Copperfield apparently has had a baby girl he's kept secret for about a year. Her name is Skye.
You make her
Sky
disappear?
Copperfield, exactly. Thank you,
tried.
Kevin. They live on one of his 11 private islands in the Bahamas.
11?
Yeah, why have one when you can have 11?
Well, because you got Rape Island.
Right, then... right. You have the safe islands. Right. There you go. Tina Fey popped. My girl Tina Fey, 30 Rock actress, just gave birth to another baby girl, Penelope Athena. Call her Penny.
Mm-hmm.
Not too bad. Jessica Alba.
Yes.
Continues to annoy me.
Why?
What?
I'll tell you why.
Because she's too hot?
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
Because she gets a push present?
Her first daughter... No, I'm a fan of the push present, but you can't tell your husband what to get you. That's just rude. But her first, you know, daughter's name is Honor, which is
good.
Is annoying.
Celebrities are supposed to name their kids something effed up.
Her second child she just gave birth to on Saturday is named Haven.
Haven.
So she's got Honor and Haven with her husband Cash. Just stop it, you guys.
Love it.
Whatever to Rachel. Jennifer, come on.
Got plenty of those. You know what we don't have? Havens.
Havens. Just call her to the pole right now. Just get her on deck. Hilary Duff is knocked up. Lizzie McGuire actress with her NHL star husband, Mike Comrie. Kevin, who does he play for?
I don't remember.
Oh,
Nashville,
you're a
I
hockey
think.
Guy.
Oh,
Nashville?
You know, he was with Nashville.
A lot of trading.
I can't remember if he got traded to Nashville or away from Nashville since they've been married, but he did get traded, yeah.
Well, they announced their pregnancy on their first wedding anniversary date. So they
That's
didn't really,
nice. They seem like a happy young couple.
They didn't waste any time.
No.
I don't know. Give it a couple years, guys, because then you're going to have kids.
Enjoy your time.
It's all downhill from there. All right, happy birthday to Deborah Messing, Ben Affleck, Joe Jonas of the Jonas Brothers.
Woo! Woo!
His life is downhill. Can you imagine what they're going to look like at 40?
No.
It's not going to be good. Happy birthday to actress Jennifer Lawrence, who's going to be coming, starring in The Hunger Games. Yes,
can't
Bean loves
wait.
Her. And a happy belated birthday to our own DJ Omar Khan.
Oh, no kidding!
Yesterday. Where are the horns?
DJ Omar Khan.
There we go. I love it. I'm Alex. That is your showbiz.
Hey, party people. Big week here on The Kevin and Bean Show, including our friend and filmmaker Morgan Spurlock is going to be here tomorrow. We got the guy who made the documentary about the Kings of Leon. Boy, how about good timing for that movie coming out, right as the band appears to be breaking up. Death Cab for Cutie is going to be live in studio with us on Wednesday. It looks like we might be catching up with Jeremy Piven from Entourage later in the week. And, of course, we are going to have more tickets for our latest Breakfast With that we will announce coming up next here on The Kevin and Bean Show.
First, it's time for the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. You can leave us a message 24 hours a day. Any topic is fine. Our new sports guy called in, Bean. And this, I believe, is the first time that this has happened.
Yo, yo, it's Mr. Youngwood, your future sports guy. I've been Catalina all weekend. I'm late this morning. So, find your own sports.
There you go.
All right. Well, maybe you're fired then.
And so it begins.
That's right. That's what happens. He used to call us every day to give us just an update on the Angels score. That was the only thing he seemed to be following in sports, which is fine, but it's not quite enough for
it's
what
we
do.
It's not comprehensive, if that's what you're saying. And now it's less comprehensive than it was then.
Right. All He's already started drinking. We haven't even hired him yet.
I am going to defend my woman, Lisa May, as this is not her fault. She has to read commercials.
Yes.
And sometimes they're written so poorly that after she's done, we turn off the microphones and just laugh. We go, they must be just giddy over what they get her to say, because they're so, sometimes they're written so poorly.
You know, Lisa, I like you a lot. I think you're hilarious sometimes, but your commercials are extremely stupid. Seriously, Lisa, listen to your commercial that you say, hey, don't be stupid about it. Just stop.
Listen,
she
reads them, and she even starts laughing beforehand, and we go, oh, no, not another bad commercial.
What are you going to do?
Lisa got a new dog. Bean wanted to name the dog Orangey.
Great name.
Orangey. Great name.
Dude, freaking pet name. Really? Really? I'd rather hear about the guy getting his penis shot with a handgun. That's way more interesting than freaking Orangey.
I understand that, but if we hadn't done it, my dog would be named Orangey.
That's correct.
And that, we just couldn't let that
and
happen.
And now it's Boner, and so it's much better.
Exactly.
I think Boner is a pretty strong name, though. And do you go outside at night and yell, hear Boner, Boner? Because I would imagine that would be enormously popular in your neighborhood.
No kidding. Then this call came in for me.
God damn it, you suck. You suck so much. You just suck. Oh my God, you just suck. Suck, suck. You just suck.
Hey, how do you know that was for me?
Yeah. I don't. I'm just assuming. Just assuming. The next one is for you. Bean mentions occasionally that he's not a fan of the handicapped. He says that to be funny and get a reaction. And people react.
You know what, Bean? I wish you were in front of my car. I'd run you over, and you'd be in a wheelchair. And maybe you'd hate yourself so much you'd actually kill yourself. You'd be dead.
This is how I know there is no such thing as karma, because I would have been in a wheelchair or handicapped in some way by now if there were.
Let's see. I wonder if you're having surgery tomorrow. Yes.
And that might be the beginning of
Maybe
this.
Maybe karma is just about to hit.
Yeah, possible.
This guy very surprised that I was married.
What? Kevin has a wife. What? Gee, all this time I thought he was gay.
You can have both, can't you?
A lot of people do.
You can be gay and have a wife.
Sure.
Hey, look at, is it Michelle Bachmann's husband, Lisa? Is that the super gay one?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no question that guy's in the closet.
Totally
none.
Gay.
We had Paramore in last week.
My favorite part of the Paramore interview was when Haley said that she had to pee. It made me blush and giggle because girls pee from their
She did say that as we were going to commercial, and I'm not positive she meant that to be on the air. But
right.
Sure did make
she was
it.
Just telling us that she was going to run out of the room. And by the way, you always mock me for using this word, but is there a better word to describe Haley than adorable? She's just adorable.
She is adorable, but it's a word that guys shouldn't try and use. We put up some photos of Miss Double December at the beach. And You know, it's funny because it's charity time, so we have an ad where people can go to help us with our back-to-school drive, but it's right below Miss Double December at the beach.
How did that happen, Kevin?
So, no, I'm saying no one ever gets to our ad because they go right to that one. This guy may be a little bit too much.
I just finished my weekend Spankapalooza. You gotta take Miss Double D off the damn website. It's addicting. The last 2 weekends, all I've done is, well... You know what I've done.
Yeah. It is addicting, and yes, we know what you've done.
Miss Christine, make my go, yeah!
Okay. I got to tell you, her Twitter is worth following as well.
Oh, really? Miss Christine M.,
oh,
yes.
She's got photos there, Miss too,
Miss Christine
right?
M., yes. She sends out a lot of photos, pretty much on a daily basis.
Wow.
And you will enjoy that. Now, this next guy... is not joking when he says...
I would now like to perform for you my impression of Al Pacino, Charlton Heston, Kevin, Bean, Cat Corbett, and the female fencing team.
All right. So I'm going to play it one more time so that you're ready, so that you understand the list, and then he's going to go through them.
I would now like to perform for you my impression of
Al Pacino.
Charlton Heston, Kevin, Bean, Cat Corbett, and the female fencing team.
All right. Here we go.
Thank you.
Nicely done.
Give that man an Oscar, an Emmy, a Tony, a Grammy, whatever you give him. Give it to him.
323-520-AFRO. Don't go anywhere. We got a major announcement about our breakfast.
It's a little anticlimactic to play Bob Marley and then have us do the announcement. We should have waited and played the song after we did the announcement of Breakfast with Bob Marley. Come on, Kevin. Where's your sense of show business here?
Can't really do that.
Why haven't we set that one up yet, by the way?
Can't really.
What is he, too good for us?
Too unavailable.
I see. That's what it is. A lot of great things about this job. As much fun for us as it is for you when we get to do these breakfast shows, because they're bands that we love and get a chance to see up close and personal. They play Tiny Place. We interview them, but you also get the chance to interview them. And I just think it's a fantastic format. It's so much fun. I mean, pretty short list of those that we haven't had a chance to do breakfasts with that we really play a lot here on the station. But just as a recap of some of our favorites over the years, before we announce the brand new one, check this out.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our breakfast with My Chemical Romance.
Blink 182. Yeah.
Radiohead. Yeah. No doubt, everybody. 'Cause I'm just a girl. Nine Inch Nails. Ladies and gentlemen, Metallica.
Let's hear it for Weezer. Breakfast with the Killers.
Please welcome Coldplay.
A little so yellow.
Breakfast with Green Day on the Kevin and Bean Show. How about some more live music?
Ladies and gentlemen, Linkin Park.
Breakfast with Muse. This is crazy.
So that happened.
Yeah.
And come on with the come on. And that's not all of them. And I mean, I was just thinking as I was listening back that, I mean, bands like Smashing Pumpkins. I mean, there are a lot of others that we didn't even have room to include in there.
Incubus was the last one we did.
Incubus was the one that we did most recently. Yeah, but we are here to announce a brand new Breakfast with. You want to have the honors?
Did I hit that too soon?
That's fine.
I should stop it, and then I should announce it and then hit it.
Okay,
we can do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to do breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Whoa! Yeah!
Finally got the new album coming out.
Yeah.
Very excited about that.
August 30th, I'm With You is the name of the album. It seems like it's been a few years since the last Red Hot Chili Peppers record, and they apparently, I mean, I'm hearing phenomenal things about this one. I hear it is great, and I can't wait to see some of these new songs live, because you know what a tremendous live band they are. In fact, we did a breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers many years ago, along with Stone Temple Pilots. You remember we had them both at the same time?
Yeah.
So we've seen these guys play, you know, in a small venue like that, and it's amazing. So if you're a Chili Peppers fan, and who isn't, you can go. It's a super secret location, a double super secret date where it's going to be. This one is very much under wraps, but you can be there. You can't buy tickets to this thing, obviously. You can only win them from us. And what are we looking for today for people who want to be the very first through the doors for Breakfast with the Chili Peppers?
I believe what we're looking for are people who know a lot about the Red Hot Chili Peppers, because you're going to need to stump Anthony. So you call, you have some kind of trivia question about the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and if you can stump Anthony, you'll go in the drawing, and then we will give away. Oh, I don't even know if we're doing a drawing. Maybe we can, everybody that stumps him. I'm not sure.
We'll find out. So you're looking for people who know more about the Chili Peppers than their lead singer.
Correct. Call 1-800-520-1067 if you would like to get into our just-announced breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
I hear you. It's the Red Hot Chili Peppers on the world-famous K-Rock at 737.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Just announced moments ago our latest breakfast with, this time with that band, the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Their new song is called The Adventures of Rain Dance Maggie. What the F does that mean, by the way? Well, we get to find out because we're going to be talking to the band coming up here super soon, super secret location. By the way, Kevin, we have to get you to play the cowbell when they do that song for us
breakfast. Don't even tempt me.
Wouldn't that be fantastic if you got to guest on cowbell for that song?
You know that I am an accomplished cowbellist.
Yes, we do.
You know what? The man who can make that happen is on the phone with us right now. The great Anthony Kiedis from RHCP joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Anthony.
You're not allowed to play cowbell on my song.
Oh, that would have been so nice and so magnanimous of you.
No, it really wouldn't. It would compromise the credibility of us as artists.
Yeah.
I'm acting like a ding dong.
I want
to congratulate Lisa May on her new dog, Space Nugget. It's a beautiful chihuahua, and it's been bred right here in California.
I'm sorry, what state did the dog come from?
California.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
She named her
dog Boner. Did you hear about that, Anthony? It's Boner is the name of the dog.
I've gotten many boners in California, so I feel like there's a cosmic connection between the dog Boner from California and Anthony Kiedis, who's gotten boners in California. Green tea. All right. Horizon totes.
Okay. All right, here's what we're going to do, Anthony. Of course, you're the historian of the band. You've been there since the beginning. We're taking phone calls at 1-800-
Sacramento!
Well, from wherever they're calling, 1-800-520-1067. They're going to be asking you trivia questions. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Stump Anthony.
What you do is stump, stump, stump Anthony. Stump. And you'll go see breakfast with RACP. Yeah. Stump, 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 stump Anthony. Wubba ding dong, bing gong, bucka bing.
All right, so 1-800.
You did write that, yeah.
1-0-1-0-6-7.
That's really good.
You did write it, yeah.
You may have. All right, let's. If they're able to stump Anthony, they go into the drawing, and then Lisa picks who gets the tickets at the end. Do I have that right?
That's correct.
Okay, why don't we start with Frank? Let's start with Frank on line 4 to get us going here on Stump Anthony. Hi, Frank. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You're on with Anthony Kiedis.
How you doing, guys? Hi, Anthony. I screwed myself up. I thought we were trying to stump you, not Anthony the man.
Hmm.
So I was going to ask you guys, in what movie does Anthony shoot himself in the foot? And what cameo?
All right. In what movie, Anthony, did you have a cameo where you shot yourself in the foot? You should remember that. That must have been a fun scene to film.
That is easy. It's California Knows How to Party.
Is it?
What?
Is it California Knows How to Party?
And the answer. Point Break, Anthony.
Point Break. Yeah.
Point Break. You must remember that, Anthony. All right, good. Great question. Thank you, Frank. We appreciate the call.
Why didn't you say it when he asked?
Oh, well, I was just lost in my own existence.
I see. Okay.
All right, let's try Derek on line 5. He's got another movie-related question about the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Hi, Derek. Welcome to the show. You're on with Anthony.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May. Good morning, Anthony.
Hi.
What movie did Flea play a tattoo artist?
California Cobb Salad, smack it like a ding-dong.
That's not... Is that a movie?
Aren't you just saying words at this point, Anthony?
Derek, is that correct?
No, it's not. It was actually in Pauly Shore's Son-in-Law.
Son-in-Law. Oh. There you go.
Remember that?
Filmed in California.
It was.
All right.
Let's try Chuck. He's on line 6. Of course, you've had some rotation at the guitar position in your band, Anthony. I think that's what Chuck's question's about.
It is. Good morning, Anthony. Kevin, Bean, Lisa.
Hi. Good morning.
Hello. How are you guys? Who has played guitar with the band the longest?
Former Governor Gray Davis of California.
Has he ever been in the band?
Yep.
Huh. Is that correct, Chuck?
No, that's not correct.
All right. What's the answer?
It's John Frusciante.
John Frusciante. I thought you would know that. I mean, that's the guy you spent years next to, Anthony. Does that name sound at all familiar to you?
Gray Davis, yes. Do you remember they had this special election to bring him in?
All right, never mind.
Thank you. Then became governor of California.
Chuck is in the drawing. Let's try Albert. He's got a question about one of your very popular albums. Albert, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Can you stump Anthony?
Nope. Yes, good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
My question is, what are the two names of the CDs on Stadium Arcadia?
Real California Cheese comes from Happy Cows.
It doesn't sound like two names, but
California!
Is that the answer?
No, it's Mars and Jupiter.
Mars and Jupiter.
Mars and Jupiter, yeah.
Does that ring a bell, Anthony?
Away from California.
Yeah.
Okay. Anthony, how do you feel it's going so far?
So far, so good. Great game.
All right, let's try Juan. Juan has a question you must know the answer of. It's about the early years of the band. Now, think hard, Anthony, when you hear Juan's question.
Hello, Juan.
Hey, what's happening, guys? Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
What's your
question? Anthony Rock, man. Hey, what was the name of the third album you guys put out?
California Cabernet.
California okay. Cabernet. I do not believe
it. Isn't that just a wine, Anthony?
It's delicious.
Juan?
Greatest name of album ever, the Uplift Mofo Party Plan.
Sure, yeah. All right,
that's
let's do
stupid. Who would name the album that?
You?
Let's do one more. Let's go to Eric. This is one that I'm positive Anthony will get. Yeah, Eric, because how could you forget this? Eric, you're on with Anthony.
Hey,
go ahead.
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Good morning, Mr. May.
Hello.
What high school did you guys go to? What?
What high school did you guys all go to?
You and Flea went to what high school?
Well,
come on, you know this one.
There's a lot, many drugs and many women ago.
Right.
Let me think about it.
You even played concerts there since you've been famous? You stayed in touch with the school?
California State University of Stanislaus.
That doesn't sound like a high school.
That's not a high school? No. Tell them what it is, Eric.
Fairfax High.
Fairfax
High. Hello?
There's a lot of beer friends there. There's a lot of Jews there.
Come on!
What are you talking about?
At Fairfax High, that's a tremendous Jewish population.
Right, but you went to high school there. That's the point, right?
I don't think that's true, no.
It's true.
I think that's a given fact. All right.
I went to high school on the Rings of Saturn.
All right. So we got your Juan. We got your Eric. We got Frank. We got Derek. Wow, you just nobody was able to stump you. We got Chuck. We got Albert all in the drawing. Lisa May, who's going to the super secret Kevin and Bean breakfast with
vroom,
the Red Hot Chili
Peppers? Vroom, 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 vroom. All right.
Our winner is Albert.
Albert.
Yeah!
Is our awesome. First winner. Albert, congratulations.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Lisa May, choose again. Albert sucks.
stomp at the knee. Womp a ding dong bing gong.
Have any of you guys walked in to meet Mr. Passion yet? Have you?
We've not.
Have you touched his beard?
Mm-mm.
I'm not. I don't think I'm looking forward to touching his beard. It's just,
how can you not?
It's impressive, but I don't want to touch it. And
he's the bad boy of bearding. He's going to be right in front of us. How can we not touch it?
I know, but I'm saying maybe he doesn't want it touched, you know?
Maybe so. Although, I think he's pretty proud of that beard.
He is, but that doesn't mean he wants our grubby hands all over it.
Whisker Wars is a show on IFC. It's awesome. You can see Jack Passion's picture and actually an awesome gallery of great beards and mustaches at kevinandbean.com, and he'll be in to talk to us right after the top of the hour. In the meantime, though, we're filling in for Ralph Garman on the Showbiz Beat. Big, big news for the season premiere of NBC's Saturday Night Live. It is back for its 37th season opener on September 24th. Ralph announced last week that Alec Baldwin has been picked to be the season opener, which is a great choice. I mean, if there's one thing we've all learned since 30 Rock has been on the air, is that Alec Baldwin is a tremendous comedy actor. And he's a great host on that show. He puts himself in the silliest situations and manages to just make every sketch more hilarious because he's in it. What had not been announced until this morning was the musical guest on the opener, which is going to be Radiohead. They're going to be back. No word yet on what song or songs, their songs, I guess, they'll at least do two, sometimes three, that they're going to be doing, if it's going to be something new or what. But always captivating to watch Radiohead live, and you can see them on free TV. Why not? And then the week after that, by the way, Melissa McCarthy is going to be hosting. You know, she was she's on that Mike and Molly show, but she had a huge breakout as the fat chick in Bridesmaids.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's
hilarious. She's going to be the host the next week, and Lady Antebellum will be your musical guest there.
AMC has renewed Breaking Bad. What an awesome show that is. Breaking Bad is so good. Yeah. If you're not watching that, you need to go back and catch up. They are renewed for a fifth and final season. Next year, I guess, they're going to have 16 episodes. And, I'm going to be sad to see that show go.
Very stressful, that show, isn't it?
It really is. It's dark, but it's awesome.
Yeah.
This is a kind of big news because it was no, there was no guarantee that it was going to come back at all. And if it did, that it would come back on AMC. There was a lot of talk that they were going to be shopping it around and maybe it would go someplace else. But I'm glad that AMC is going to pick it up and kind of finish what they started. But it was funny this season when right before it debuted when they said, yeah, it's going a little darker this year.
Yeah.
Because you go, how is that possible? A couple of movie notes for you that are new today here on the Kevin and Bean Show. According to a website called HitFlix, Mike Myers is this close to committing to New Line Cinema to make a fourth Austin Powers movie. Now, Austin Powers International Man of Mystery came out in 1997, then The Spy Who Shagged Me in 99. And I have to be honest, at that point I thought, he's done two full feature-length movies on this character. It's got to be over.
Yeah.
Then they announced that they were coming out with Austin Powers Goldmember in 2002. And that ended up being a huge hit as well. So he's gotten three movies out of this character. Do you guys think he can get a fourth? It's kind of hard to bet against him based on his track record here.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw three of them, but you feel like you've seen the character.
I really, right. Yeah, this really seems tired.
You've
now.
Seen it.
It seems pretty dated. I mean, I just don't know that I'm ready for people walking around with, you know, doing the Austin Powerisms.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for that. That's always the best.
Again, but it looks like it's very close to being official. And if that's the case, you know, probably next year sometime we'll have a new one.
The New York Times reports that because states are having so much trouble with income, hey, you know what they should do is they should legalize some form of internet gambling. What a great idea.
That is a great idea.
Why didn't anyone think of that before?
You know, it's even worse than that. It's even worse than them not allowing internet gambling. They arrest people and put people on trial for doing things like playing poker online instead of, I don't know, making millions of dollars off of it.
Two California state senators introduced a bill last year to allow internet gambling inside the state, hoping that the move could raise between $1 and $2 billion, which
jeez.
I wouldn't be surprised by.
Boy, could we use that.
And there are so many people now that they've taken away all of the internet gambling. It's just,
right.
It's absurd.
Yeah.
And everybody's having money problems and they just can't figure out how to make budgets.
Look, here's my
legalize
whole thing.
Legalize pot.
Sin tax.
And tax it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
then pot. Prostitution gambling. And gambling.
Right.
That's the big
thing. So in the green.
Boom! First of all, the state would have nothing but money. Second of all, what a bitchin' place to live if all that was legal. Right?
Yeah.
Of course.
A couple of movie notes before we make way for Jack Passion from Whisker Wars next on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm very sad to hear this because I was really looking forward to the Lone Ranger film that we've been talking about starring Johnny Depp. Remember, we've been talking about it seems like for 6 months that was definitely happening. Well, yeah. Now... on Friday, Disney announced that they are pulling the plug on the Lone Ranger movie. Here's the part that most shocked me about it, because I would think at this point, anything that Johnny Depp wants to do, you just let him do, right?
Yeah,
of course.
It was reported, according to the Hollywood Reporter, that the film could have cost as much as $250 million.
How's that
now,
possible?
Now, someone explain to me how that's possible. You're not dealing with a special effects movie. You're not dealing with a giant, big, you know, like Pirates of the Caribbean type movie with lots of, you know, thousands of extras and costumes and being on the water and all that kind of stuff. How can a cowboy movie cost $250 million? Unless it's Cowboys and Aliens, like I said, which has the huge special effects whatnot. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, I'm hoping that they'll shop it around and find someplace else or maybe find a way to do it cheaper. But it sure seems like you used to be able to make that kind of movie, the Westerns, for $35. I just don't know why it has to cost tens of hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, that's a crazy number.
But the Lone Ranger, come on, I want to see that. And speaking of movies, we'll close with the hot movies at the box office over the weekend. Rise of the Planet of the Apes continues to be a big hit, a great second weekend, $27.5 million at the box office this weekend. The Help debuted at number 2 with $25.5 million, then Final Destination 5, The Smurfs hanging on at number 4, 30 minutes or less, which I think has got to be kind of disappointing for them, considering how much publicity they did for that and how much press they did for it, and the fact that it has so many really excellent and funny actors in it.
Yeah, the actors, I saw this movie, and it was good. The actors are better than the movie.
Mm. Right,
unfortunately.
Right.
They were all funny, but it was close.
Cowboys and Aliens came in at number 6, then Captain America, Crazy Stupid Love, Harry Potter, The Change-Up, and as Alex mentioned last hour, the Glee 3D concert movie debuted outside the top 10 at number 11 with only $5.7 million.
Mm. Celebrity birthdays. Actor Anthony Anderson is 41. Ben Affleck is 39. Natasha Henstridge is 37. Jennifer Lawrence from The Hunger Games and X-Men First Class, 21 years old.
Wow.
And the reason we celebrate today, singer Joe Jonas of the Jonas Brothers.
Oh, Nick Jonas is so cute.
I know. Nick is cute, but this is Joe, not Nick. Sorry.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes.
I agree. But anyway, those are celebrity birthdays. A quick break, and then we will come back with Jack.
I am I'm humbled right now, Kevin. I don't know how I'm going to go on and be able to contain myself. The bad boy of bearding is here, ladies and gentlemen. Jack Passion joins us in studio. He is a world beard champion and, of course, the author of the Facial Hair Handbook. Mr. Passion, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
Thank you so much for having me.
That beard is impressive in person. I mean, it's one thing to see it on TV as we do every week on the Whisker Wars on ISC, but you see it in person and it's just captivating. I can't stop looking at it.
You know, the iridescent luster is lost. It doesn't translate in photography.
It's almost spun in gold.
It is. Your words, not mine.
I was watching an Arrested Development marathon on IFC. Watched the entire
it's a great network, man.
Season from beginning to end, and I saw a commercial for Whisker Wars, and I thought, first of all, this has to be a joke. Second of all, if it's not, this is going to be the best show ever. Because it's one of those things where everybody knows about the little niche areas and everybody knows about everything big. But there's some niche areas that you may not be aware of that are huge and super important to that group. And this particular one is facial hair. And it's called Whisker Wars.
Yeah.
Now, Jack Passion is the best.
He's the best in the game.
He's the bad boy of bearding.
Well, he is the bad boy of bearding. That is true. That's indisputable.
You know, and you got to understand, I'm actually just like a really nice guy. I'm just a teddy bear.
Hey, we've seen the show, man.
But, you know, I will not let this, you know, if they aggress at me.
Sure.
You got to defend yourself.
Yeah. Of course.
And,
yeah.
You know, I will take none of that.
Competition brings out the animal in you, is what I'm getting from you.
I mean, look,
testosterone,
right. I have this, like, big mane. So it's like, you know, it's like I'm attacked in the wild. I fight for my, to protect my young. Yeah,
sure. But you've, Jack, you've paid the cost to be the boss, as they say. But you, because you are the champion, because you're the two-time Natural Beard World Champion, you have a lot of haters. I mean, you have a lot of people who are, I mean, especially that group down in Texas, man, they just are hating on you all the time because they want what you've got, right?
It's a fact. I mean, I think what you're describing, they want what I've got, I believe the English word for that is jealousy.
Jealousy, yes.
You know,
right.
And, so, you know, what can you do? I mean, beard competitions are so much fun because they're it's like ironic, you know what I mean? It's like a parody of organized sports.
Okay, so hold on right there. So you're aware, because this is, gets to the heart of it.
Yeah.
You're aware that this is crazy.
Oh, yeah. That's why it's fun. That's why I love it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So
you do the trash talking.
Yeah, I mean, have you ever, it's like a boxing press conference, and I'm just, I mean, in addition to winning the match, I'm also going to win the press conference and talk the best trash.
So this is
right.
This is the part of the intro to the show.
Bearding is a sport, which is growing and cultivating and styling one's beard for the purpose of competing in a beard competition.
All right, now, let's start with bearding as a sport. You know that's not true.
Well, yeah.
Here's
what happened. So this sport, I mean, the
sport.
And, you know, facial hair competitions as we know it is kind of, it emerged out of Germany about 25 years ago.
And the Germans rule.
Yeah, they do. They just kind of like swat us around like a little kitten.
That hurts.
Or a small puppy named Boner. And so, you know, I mean, they hold up the little cards with the numbers and they read them off and it's like this like Olympic sort of thing. And, you know, like, in bodybuilding, you train for a while, and then the sport is like really just the pageant, the show.
Right.
And so I think it emerged, you know, I mean, because it's kind of a parody on organized sports, and because we just, well, I mean, what else are you going to call it, you know?
A competition.
Well, I mean,
it's not a sport.
You know, like, what do you say? Like,
you're not an athlete.
I'm working on my competition. No, you'd say, like, I'm working on my game, you know?
I'm fine with them calling it a sport, by the way. Like, that doesn't bother me at all.
Like, on your Twitter. Twitter just must be, today, didn't shave. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And then the next day is, didn't shave.
It's yeah.
That's it.
Well, let's talk about your magnificent beard for a moment here, Jack. I'm fascinated because there's not enough backstory on the contestants on the IFC Whisker Wars. Tell me about you. I mean, how old were you when you first started sprouting facial hair?
2.
Yeah. No, I actually, you know, I was stuck on it at childbirth. And, you know, they're like, why can't we get him out? What's the issue here? And so, I was young. You know, I mean, I swear, I was probably on my way to a little league baseball practice when my old man looks over in the truck and it's like, oh, man, it's time to start shaving. You know, and so, I mean, like 12, 13. But you guys can see I'm not like this, like, really hairy guy. I just got a lot of facial hair.
Right.
You get it early. You know, at that age, the only kids with facial hair are like, you know, gangsters, so you get all the street cred in middle school.
So now you're a gangster.
Well,
because you look tougher and bigger and older than the other kids. I can understand
that. I remember a kid in high school, like when I was 14, the first kid that could grow a beard. And yeah. Like, I still to this day remember who that kid was.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It was part of my personal style. I went with it. You know,
so you always had a beard, Jack, or for a few years were you clean shaven before you decided to let it go?
Yeah, well, I had big sideburns, and then I was clean shaven for a bit, and I grew out a beard, and then I shaved it off, and I hadn't, you know, it's like I didn't give it enough time. You know, you can't fail at, like, growing a rose garden if you just give up, and, you know.
You can fail it, you mean.
Well, you have to give it time, you know.
You have to give it
time. Rome wasn't
built
in a day, and this, look at this thing. I mean, this
right,
is.
Yeah.
If I didn't shave my whole life, I wouldn't have that. I would be.
No, you've got something special, Jack, that the rest of us don't have. We couldn't grow that beard no matter how much time or how much help. That's the point.
You guys are too good to me. You know, you're just.
Well, it's true, though.
You're just too sweet.
All right. The current. How long have you worn a beard? How long has it been since you've been clean shaven?
8 years.
This whole thing in less than 8 years?
Well, actually, I you know, it's like I trim it all the time. It's like getting a haircut. So this is probably
why don't you let
years.
It grow longer? Because I noticed some of your competitors, like the guy on the show last night, I think he was either in the Ohio or the New York competition, who had a 5-foot beard. Guys like that must give you sweats at night.
Well, I'm really all about quality, not necessarily quantity. And, you know, like, it's one thing to have like a really long, scraggly beard. And then it's one thing to have like, you know, like a fine fur. You know,
yeah. Sure.
And you guys can tell I'm a man of luxury.
Now, how long is the beard?
It goes down to your
pants level at the very least.
Yeah, I mean, you give me a month, I won't need to wear pants. I mean, it'll just cover it all up.
It just keeps growing longer? Because the hair on my head won't grow that long.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it just
keeps growing. You're the crystal gale of beards.
It's the only thing I know how to do.
You have to see the picture of Jack Passion on the Kevin and Bean website. It's at the very top of the page. He looks like he's flying an American flag. That's how big this beard is in the wind.
Wait, it's the only thing you know how to do.
No, actually, that's...
The only thing you do is not shave.
You know.
There's more to it than that, though, right, Jack?
Absolutely.
There's maintenance involved, I would imagine. You've got the tricks of the trade.
We're talking to the bad boy of bearding about Whisker Wars. We need to take a break.
Oh, don't you dare.
Jack Passion is here. He's the Muhammad Ali of the sport.
And you are a 2-time what? I want to get the verbiage right on this, Jack. 2-time what?
I'm a 2-time world champion in the natural full beard division.
Come on. Look at that.
Look at that.
Look at that.
We don't just let any bearder in here.
Thank you.
So we'll take a break. We'll come.
Mr. Jack Passion, the bad boy of bearding, in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Here's a little bit of him on this weekend's IFC Whisker Wars.
This is Whisker Wars. The American bearding season has begun. In the wake of the U.S. Nationals, and with the Worlds just months away, the competitive beard circuit is heating up.
Yeah.
Next step, the Ohio Championships, which promises to draw top talent, including reigning full beard world champ, Jack Passion.
Yeah! Competitors are getting more serious. There's a lot more opportunity for guys to come up and filter through the sport. There's also a lot more opportunity for alpha dogs to continue to dominate in the sport and, you know, just rack up trophies.
A lot of young bucks out there, they want to take down Jack Passion, right? They want to be the new face of bearding.
Yeah, you know, and it was like what you were saying earlier.
Wait, do they?
Of course they do, Kevin. Let the man talk.
Let me just check.
You know, I'm king of Beard Mountain.
But how big is the mountain?
Well, it's a volcano. Okay, so I come on top. You know, you're going to burn in the lava, but I just float above the lava.
But everybody wants to be you. That's my point. Is you're the target. You got a target on your back, a target on your beard, really. Everywhere you go,
it's true.
Tell me about your fans, because I go on your Twitter page, and you are, of course, just at Jack Passion, and you get, it seems like fan mail like this. I hope when I get to heaven, Jesus has a beard as beautiful as yours. I mean, people are really into your beard, Jack.
Well, yeah, I mean, we call them passionistas.
Sure.
And, I'm the villain on Whisker Wars, but, you know, I'm a good guy, and I think that resonates with the fans, and... Yeah, I mean, the beard, you know. I mean, I hope they want me for more than my beard.
They don't,
no,
first of all.
They don't. Yeah, they
but
don't.
Second of all, are there beard groupies
waiting
for you after the competition? Come on.
You know, I don't.
So, yes.
I don't.
You do okay, right, Jack?
Well, I mean, you know, unfortunately, this is radio, so nobody can see how just handsome I am.
Yeah, well.
Right.
We're asking how you do at those shows. Like you were at a show here in Los Angeles yesterday.
Yeah, actually, you know, a couple weeks ago, you talked to the president of the L.A. Beard Club, John mm-hmm. Myatt.
Right.
And he threw an incredible contest last night.
Who won?
Who do you think? there were five categories, so there are five winners. I won natural full beard. That's like, you know.
What are the other four categories?
Mustache.
Mustache, okay.
Partial beard.
Mm-hmm.
Business beard.
Business beard.
Yeah, which is kind of like, you know, the short groomed beard mm-hmm. that you can kind of wear and have a job.
That's the Wolf Blitzer, right?
Yeah.
That's a BS
and,
beard.
And then freestyle, which is, you know, reminiscent of the crazy designs you see in Germany.
Okay, this is what I wanted to ask you. I'm so glad you brought this up, Jack. You are the king in your category, but do you ever think, much like a boxer may gain weight or lose weight to be able to compete for other belts, do you ever think, hey, maybe I'm going to mix it up in 2012 and go freestyle and see how I do there? Wouldn't that be amazing if you could be the champion in two different competitions?
Well, that's a very good question, and I'm glad you bring it up. I have competed freestyle in the past.
You have?
And, you know, part of my philosophy, you know, with a beard, and I mean, this is kind of my message in my book, you know, like your hair, and if you're a man, your facial hair is like indicative of your internal health. And if you, so I want to have a very nice, healthy, clean beard.
Right.
And when you use all that hairspray and the blow dryer and you're styling it up all the time, it really takes a toll on your hair.
And tell us.
Yeah.
You're just worried about doing damage to the moneymaker if you start getting crazy with freestyle, because that involves a lot of gels and that sort of thing, right?
You know, it's like a classic. It's like a classic car. You're not going to, you know, make that your daily driver.
Right? I got you.
I understand. Yeah.
I got you.
Brian Wilson, the phenomenal pitcher of the world champion San Francisco Giants, has got to be the biggest and most famous celebrity beard going in America right now. Would you agree?
I mean, of course, besides me.
Besides
yes,
you, yes. Besides the competitors, the athletes.
Yeah. It's a great beard.
Why is Germany so good? Why do they rule the world?
Well, so these competitions, you know, it's not just like the longest beard, right? It's the nicest beard. And one thing I guess inherent in German culture is this sort of angle and bend on precision.
Okay.
And so when they compete, I mean, you're really looking at like the archetypal form of the Garibaldi beard or the Verdi beard. And
I have no idea what you're saying
yeah,
right now.
So they just, I mean, you know, they do things perfectly. And so at a beard competition, that holds true as well.
Now, USA, Team USA, is really trying. We're gunning for them, right? I mean, we've got to bring that crown, whatever it is.
It's
a beard
it's
crown
true.
Or whatever, I mean, it is back here.
You know, but I mean, just, I mean, America is a young country. We're, the American team is a lot of young guys. And we, I think, you know, in the American mythology, facial hair stands for different things than, you know, like conforming to this, like, perfect.
Right.
You know, I mean, some of these guys look like nutcrackers, you know, the German guys.
They do.
So
they do.
That's not really why we grow beards. So, you know, the guys have had to step it up, you know.
What about the guy?
USA! 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 USA!
Speaking of the Germans, what about the guy that you featured on an early episode of Whisker Wars this season who had a power drill accident and almost had to get out of bearding for life? They had to shave most of his face, right? Have you ever had a close call, Jack, where you've had some damage or injury to your beard?
Face,
I mean, or neck, or... And the doctors are like, we got to take off the beard. No!
Yeah. Well, you know, like, I mean, every day, you know, like when, like in Indiana Jones, when like the spinning blades, you know, just like come out of the floor.
Right.
I mean, it's like that every day.
You're running a gauntlet.
Yeah. So, you know, but it also.
I would think that your life would be fraught with danger, though, because you get caught in an elevator, an escalator, or there's just any number of ways.
Life walk is by a hurt. Candle.
Zippers, car doors.
Life is a beard gauntlet. Let's be honest.
Have you ever gotten your beard caught in anything or anyone?
I thought we were done with the beard movie thing. Yeah, but you know, I mean, it's like it took 8 years. It's not like all of a sudden I woke up and it's like, oh man, what do I do with this like new appendage?
Right.
You know, it's like it's been here. I'm used to where it is spatially.
But don't you at some point go, wow, this is annoying me. I need to shave this off now.
Yeah, do you ever?
And it would shock the world.
You know, I'm okay. So,
not before we beat the Germans, of course.
Absolutely.
USA! USA! USA!
Yeah, I mean, yes, but the I mean, so that'd be like the cons of having a beard. But the pros are so big.
I can't imagine a single one.
Every single day, you know, like, I don't know, I travel around going to adventures, I make new friends, start conversations, and it really all comes back to just having a really nice beard and just...
It's a bitchin' beard, let's be honest.
I would want to be friends with Jack just to hang out with him and look at his beard. I mean, I really would. It's that captivating. I can't take my eyes off it. My eyes are up here,
you know, my face is up here.
Do people try to touch it a lot, and do you have to block them?
As long as they use like a backhand.
Use a little Krav Maga. You got to keep them away from it. Yeah. Just keep back them off.
Well, I got people who, you know, do that for me. But, yeah, as long as they use a backhand, that's fine.
Backhand?
Yeah.
Because the front hand is too greasy?
Yeah, I mean, you know, finger oils carry a lot of bacteria.
Do you tell them backhand? Use the back of your hand.
Yeah, just use a backhand. No rings, you know?
No rings.
Oh, right.
Backhand,
Jack,
no rings.
There's a lot of danger in your life.
No rings.
I know that you're a professional, so you don't have this problem, but it must frustrate you to see so many amateur beardsmen who can't seem to eat without getting everything they're eating stuck in their beard. I mean, that has to really cheese you off, right?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of, you know, I guess my platform is grow a really nice beard, take care of it, look good. You know, facial hair, it's kind of, there's no middle ground. It's either going to make you look bad. I mean, that's why we have all, like, the bum stereotypes and stuff. Or it's going to make you great.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
It's going to make you look bad or great.
So, yeah, I mean, you gotta take care of it. When you eat, I don't know. I mean...
Yeah, what happens if you've spilled food on it? Do alarms go off?
That's a sports injury.
And
you have to sit out the next competition.
People come rushing out with all their tools and
bandages. They just wrap it up. You know,
we got to save Jack's beard.
Hose him off.
Yeah.
He got cranberry juice in it. What now? Stat.
No, too much sugar. No juice on the beard diet.
Is that right?
Oh,
wow.
That's a fact, man.
Why learning sugar so much the beard?
I mean, it just grows really brittle hair. I mean, just, you know, hair that
would
break.
Come on, Kevin. Don't embarrass me with questions like that.
I apologize. I didn't know about the sugar thing.
Did you not read the book?
No, I didn't read the book yet.
All right. I want to put in a plug for the book because we're literally in our final minute here with the great Jack Passion. The Facial Hair Handbook is available everywhere, in stores and online. And we were joking about it last week, Jack, that isn't every page just don't shave, but the reality is you cover a lot of different angles of growing bitchin' facial hair, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, so as a competitor, you know, there's really like an offense and a defense, and hair is dead, so you got to grow really good hair first, and then you take care of it. And you know, there is some theory, you know, because
what's
like,
the best food to eat to grow a beard?
I eat a lot of grass-fed beef, you know,
grass-fed beef
protein. You got to eat a lot of vegetables, nutritionally dense food.
Okay,
you know, I mean,
okay.
that's really what it is, because if you're healthy, you'll grow a healthy beard. My first law in the book is healthy man, healthy beard. So,
and in the book, do you share some of your grooming tips and maybe some of the different things you can use to help make your beard look its best at all times?
Absolutely. I mean, I give every one of my secrets. I mean, the difference is really, like, you know, that guys won't, you know, maybe they'll be lazy or something. I mean, the reason I'm able to keep winning, I feel like, is just people aren't willing to do what I do.
Jack's willing to put in the work,
but,
right?
Yeah,
exactly.
So, but it's all there. You know, I tell everybody everything.
And no sex something. Within three days of a competition, right?
Oh, no, you got to build it up.
Well, you want to get that testosterone flowing. I'm thinking all of that has got
to
help.
You need to be a beacon of it up there. Right. On stage. Just like...
I wish we had another week to spend with Jack, but alas, we are in fact out of time. You can follow Jack on Twitter @JackPassion, and of course you can get the book, the Facial Hair Handbook, everywhere including Amazon, and IFC is where they air new episodes of Whisk Wars. Is the first episode of the week, is that on Friday night and then it repeats Sunday?
Yeah,
is that
Fridays,
right, Jack?
Fridays at 11 on IFC.
And then when is the champion world championship so we can knock off the Germans?
USA! 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 What, you USA!
Gotta, you gotta tune into the show to see what happens.
Oh!
Yeah.
Best.
That guy's beard, seriously.
That's impressive.
Awesome. And it looks so silky.
And I don't care about beards.
Yeah.
I'm not impressed by beards, and yet... How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, remarkable.
106.7 K-Rock is KRQ. It's 8:42.
Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show, our friend Andrew Siciliano is going to be here to break down the opening weekend of preseason NFL coming up after the top of the hour. First, though, how about Harvey Levin from TMZ.com? Harvey, how you been, man?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
I'm so glad you're on today. Well, I'm glad you're on every Monday, but I'm particularly glad you're on today with a Casey Anthony update because I never, for whatever reason, got a chance to talk to you about the photos that you published a couple weeks ago about Casey Anthony, and they're back up at the top of your site today. These are pictures that I guess were taken of her in a very weak disguise, just wearing glasses and a baseball cap, walking around where? Like in Ohio or someplace?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. There have been more sightings of this woman, and I don't know whether she's kind of nomadic and flying around or whether she's sedentary, but I swear to you, we actually are thinking of putting up a post where we put all of the possible locations that she's been, and it looks like air traffic control.
Just sightings all over the world.
But yeah. Even these photos that you first published a couple weeks ago, people were on very seriously saying there's no way that's her because they felt that she had gained too much weight since the trial had ended, right?
It's her.
To me, it looks, I mean, I can't imagine that it's not her. It looks so much like her.
No, it is her.
But she has porked up quite a bit since the trial too, right?
Well, you know, when you're in jail.
Hey, they feed you in jail. You just don't know. And then you don't like it. And then, you know, you lose
weight.
And
then all of a sudden, boom, there's a pizza in front of you.
Yeah. She can't do much of anything but eat right now, I imagine. Yeah.
She's probably sitting in a house or an apartment or a hotel or something somewhere and just ordering room service 24/7, right?
Yeah.
I would think that people who get out of jail after being there for a long time automatically pork up.
I would think so, too.
You're probably right. So tell us what's going on today, what the new wrinkle is with her.
Well, you know, she's going to be on probation for this credit card fraud conviction that she had in 2010. So there's a problem with it because the judge in that case basically said when you're sitting in jail awaiting trial for murder, it's not going to count toward fulfilling your probation for that credit card case.
Oh.
But when he actually signed the order, he made a mistake, and it would have allowed her to basically fulfill her probation while she sat in jail. The problem with that is, the idea of probation is, you want to see if a person's going to do the right thing when they're out free in the world.
Right.
And when you're in jail, there's not a whole lot you can do that's bad because you're sitting there. And so the judge never intended that count as a probationary period. So they're trying to make it so that she now has to do probation again fresh for that case. But her lawyers are now going to fight it and say, the judge said it. It may be a technicality, but we have a right to it. So a lot of people feel like it's kind of beating the system yet again, and
right.
They're really fighting for this.
So she would actually go back to jail on probation?
No. She would have to go to Florida, and her probation would basically run for another full year in Florida. And her lawyers say, look, she shouldn't be on probation. She fulfilled that 1 year while she's
gotcha.
In jail.
What's her future? I mean, a lot of people watch that trial. A lot of people think she killed her daughter. But, I mean, what does she do?
Well, look.
Porn?
You know, here's the thing.
Porn?
Right now. maybe. I mean, people said that, and I don't think the situation is the same. I think what Casey Anthony is accused of is a lot worse. But Amy Fisher actually caught, you know, Amy Fisher did indeed shoot Joey Buttafuoco's wife.
Yeah.
So everybody thought, oh, she's never going to have any kind of a career. And, you know, and she's kicked around with this kind of D-level stuff and made some money off of it over the years. So she's probably going to be, you know, a little bit of a freak show, but she'll make money off of interviews. And then she'll kick around and she'll probably do celebrity wrestling and all that stuff. And
Amy Fisher went to jail, though. I think the level of anger at Casey Anthony is far greater because of that, because it's sensed that she got away with murder.
Well, O.J. Simpson got away with murder.
Yeah, and people hated him.
And yet when he was free, you know, people were coming up to him. They were asking for his autograph, although he's different because he had a lot of goodwill going into it because he was already a football star and a movie star.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, look, I think people hate her, and I think there's a huge negative reaction. But at the same time, there's a curiosity, and I think curiosity sells. And if she can figure out how to market curiosity, even if it's anger-based, you know, in a weird way, I know this sounds bizarre, but what if she went in the lecture circuit? You know, there'd probably be a lot of people protesting, but I think people would probably go to see her to scream at her, and she could end up making some money that way. So there are clever ways
to make money by going on stage and getting screamed at,
Charlie Sheen did.
Like Charlie Sheen did. It's kind of the same thing. I'm blanking on the concert, the Juggalos. It's like the Juggalos.
Right.
Somebody throws a watermelon at you, but you make money.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, one more thing on the Casey Anthony, and that is, how long do they expect we're going to wait for this interview? I mean, isn't the level of interest in this case evaporating day after day? Why haven't the networks pointed up whatever it's going to take to get her in a chair in front of Barbara Walters at this point?
Right. Her lawyer is telling us
that she's going to go into some kind of intensive therapy because of all the issues. I mean, she's a screwed up person, and for all sorts of reasons, and that they're not going to let her do anything until she goes through this therapy.
Ah, all right. And I hope they also are not going to let her have any kids. I hope that's part of the deal, too.
Yeah.
All right. We're out of time, unfortunately. Some great stuff at TMZ.com. Ralph Garman is out today. He will be back tomorrow and the rest of the week. This hour, filling in on the Showbiz Beat, it's producer Alex. Hey, Alex.
Good morning, everybody. All right, Paula Abdul's crazy.
Yeah.
We know this.
Yes.
She's a bunch of crazy, but I kind of miss her on my television. So she's coming back in X Factor. And she has an assistant, as Hollywood celebrities do. And apparently a list of her demands have been made public.
Sweet.
Fantastic.
This is what she makes her assistants do, okay? One, always have a tape recorder going because, quote, I don't even trust my own conversations.
Meaning she forgets what she says, or she's so genius.
She strikes me as someone who would forget what she told her assistants to do, but also she strikes me as a conspiracy theorist. Like, I think she thinks people are out to get her, they don't respect her enough.
Oh, I see.
She wants to have her version of events at all times categorized. Two, check TiVo for mentions of her and burn them onto a DVD.
That's fantastic.
So, there you go. Three.
She doesn't want to see most mentions of her on television, by the way. They're not flattering.
No, it's always like...
Three, walk around in front of her with a mirror all the time.
Top 10 crazy, top 10 worst dressed. Three, go through Paula's personal email and send responses out in her voice to friends and family.
In her voice?
Yes.
To friends and family?
Yes.
Even her family?
Yes. So not only are you running her Twitter account, but mom wants to know what's going on for Thanksgiving.
Yes, mom, I'm fine.
You have to respond as Paula.
What's happening?
And last, this is my favorite. Constantly remind Paula that she is, quote, a warrior, survivor, and a gift, end quote.
That's in writing?
Yes.
So your job as a personal assistant is say, hey, Miss Abdul, if I haven't mentioned it lately, we're so lucky to have you in the world. You're such an inspiration to millions.
You're such a gift to me.
You're a warrior and a gift.
You're a warrior.
Wow.
Oh, man.
She's awesome.
We might need to do a call-in topic sometime of personal celebrities of either assistants of celebrities, of their assistants or like house staff or whoever. Because you know they ask them to do this wacky crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but to tell me I'm a gift every day. Come on.
Kevin, you're a gift.
Come on now.
You're a wonderful gift.
I know I'm a gift. I don't need to be told.
So you guys broke the news in the 7 o'clock hour that we're doing a breakfast with the mother of the Chili Peppers. Muggs
All right,
is
calm
excited.
Down, Mug.
That is true.
So
Mug,
now
you know you don't get to go, right? You know that.
Oh, what?
Yep.
What? Lord, dude. Well, now you can pre-order the new Red Hot Chili Peppers album. It's called I'm With You. It is their 10th studio album. You can go to redhotchilipeppers.com. You can pre-order the album now, and you will get a t-shirt and a Subway poster. There you go. Booyah. Don't say the Chili Peppers never, you know,
What's a Subway poster?
I'm going to assume it's like one of the posters that they would hang in the Subway. Maybe it's sort of that size and shape.
Okay.
It's literally a Subway poster.
What, you think it was for the food store?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Get a $5 foot long and the new Chili Pepper CD.
That's what I was wondering.
That would be strange.
Do you guys care about the new Dancing with the Stars cast?
I only care if they've topped Rob Kardashian, or is he still the biggest name they have?
Well, apparently Queen Latifah is rumored to be on, but sadly, she will not be shaking what her mama gave her on ABC.
Okay.
However, Tiffany Thiessen is rumored to be in it from White Collar, and of course, Saved by the Bell.
Sure.
Our favorite tan sausage, Snooki, from the Jersey Shore.
Oh, please God, yes.
She's already faked and baked. She's already ready to go.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Rob Kardashian from Mooching Useless Brother. He's the worst. I hate him so much.
I love it. They're out doing Psycho Mike. It's awesome.
Happy birthday to actress Deborah Messing, Ben Affleck, Joe Jonas of the Jonas Brothers, actress Jennifer Lawrence, and get out those reggaeton horns. A happy belated birthday to our own DJ Omar Khan.
DJ Omar Khan.
I am Alex. That is your Showbiz Beat.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Football is here. Kevin, you were talking earlier about how you're watching your Cardinals over the weekend.
I turned on the television and there was football on it.
I know.
It's so exciting.
It doesn't quite count yet. We don't have the red zone on DirecTV with our friend Andrew Siciliano to look forward to just yet. But that is on the way, and Andrew joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, man, how are you?
Thanks for the Beastie Boys. That was awesome.
Come on.
Fun, right?
Thank you.
What are you doing? You're filling in on ESPN Radio all this week or something?
I'm doing a million different things. I'm trying not to sleep. I am. No, I'm actually in the middle of a six-week run, I guess you'd call it run, as Tony Kornheiser's fill-in on his local DC radio show, which is where I grew up. He gets 6 weeks of vacation.
I was going to ask,
all at once?
What is he doing with that?
I don't know.
That's awesome.
I don't know what he's doing, but he gets a lot of vacation. He takes a lot of vacation because he gets a lot of vacation.
Sure, sure.
And so I'm doing it actually from here. I did a week back there, went and saw the family for a little bit. And then I'm from a studio in Culver City, but I'm doing a D.C. show here for 6 weeks.
Now, you're also doing the preseason St. Louis Rams play-by-play.
Correct. I'm also flying to St. Louis and doing their TV games. We had the first one Saturday. They beat the Colts pretty badly.
But when that ends, preseason ends, you're not going to do it?
Right, right. Only the preseason.
Tony Kornheiser's going to do it?
No. The local teams, and whether it's the Raiders, the Chargers, the Niners, whomever, they produce their preseason games. That's how it's done. The teams do local TV in the preseason.
Right.
So I'm working for the Rams doing games there. And
I
then
see.
They get rebroadcast on NFL Network sometimes, too. And I'm doing a fantasy show coming up this season on NFL Network.
Fantasy football!
Yeah, go ahead. Go for
geek!
It.
Go
we'll talk about that next time we have you in, Andrew. But you it's funny. I heard the tone in your voice when you said how the Rams beat the Colts badly.
Yeah.
And I saw a lot of people this weekend who are already looking for reasons to fret or celebrate. And a preseason game, say it with me, means nothing, right?
It means nothing.
Especially the first one.
Unless you're a fan of a team like I am that isn't going to win anymore. So that's the only one you get. You celebrate.
But I mean, I saw Bears fans celebrating this weekend and Packers fans sad. And I was thinking, it doesn't even matter who wins or loses the game.
You have to look at who is playing in these games. How hard are they playing? Like, the Steelers weren't playing hard. They mailed it in.
Right.
I saw the Colts in person. Peyton didn't play. Obviously, Dwight Freeney didn't play. Honestly, after the first couple of quarters or the first couple of series, it didn't look like they were trying that hard either. Now, in the second half of these games, when you have all these rookie free agents and guys desperately trying to make the team,
right,
piling on, you know, eight guys on a tackle because everyone wants to be seen on film.
Yeah, they play hard because they don't want to be sent home.
Right. Those guys play hard, but the majority of those guys don't make the team. And if they do, they're not going to contribute when they do make the team. So, I mean, you don't get much out of that.
Right.
It's all about the first series or the first, the first quarter. Week three of the preseason is the dress rehearsal. Week four, they shut it down. Nobody of any significance plays. But week three, most teams will play their starters the entire first half, sometimes into the third quarter. And that's when you really get a better feel, although not a great feel, but a better feel of where your team is. There's reason to be excited for your team, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Of course.
Yeah,
I agree.
Don't get too excited.
And when is opening day?
Opening day is September 11th for the first full Sunday. However, September 8th is when the national TV opener is. I want to say,
is that like a Thursday night?
It's a Thursday night.
That's the one they do with a big concert and a celebration
right,
and a party.
One,
right.
And it's the Saints and the Packers in Green Bay at Lambeau Thursday.
Oh, that's
night.
Nice to open with the champs, right?
Exactly.
Now, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on today, Andrew, and of course we always love catching up with you, is I was following, as I do, follow your Twitter, and you were talking about all the rule changes, and I guess I hadn't been paying attention to how different the NFL is going to be this year. And especially when you started tweeting about how much longer the games might take because of them. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, the league says that they don't think the games will be extended much more than 2 or 3 minutes. I think realistically it could be 5 to 7 minutes, but I mean that remains to be seen.
What are the changes?
The biggest rule change for game length is the fact that now every touchdown is going to be reviewed.
Automatically touchdown. Through the whole game?
Throughout the whole game.
Wow.
And every field goal
Why,
as well.
Why, though?
Every scoring play, because they want to make sure they get it right, number one, which is noble. And number two, I think what they want to do as well is to give the coaches let the coaches use their challenges when they really need them, instead of saying, all right, so you wasted 2 challenges in the first quarter, challenging touchdowns that maybe the official screwed up the call initially on, and then you can't use your challenges anymore later in the game. They want to just take that out of their hands and say, all right, we're going to review every scoring play. Now, that doesn't mean the lead official, for example, a game I did Saturday, Pete Morelli was the official. That doesn't mean that after every touchdown, Pete Morelli goes to the sideline, looks at the monitor, and then runs back on the field and says, the play is confirmed touchdown. What it means is there is an extra official now upstairs, and he is reviewing it. And if he thinks that Pete Morelli needs to look at it, he'll buzz him, and the referee will go over, he'll look at it, and then they'll decide whether or not it's a touchdown. It's pretty much like...
If not, it won't change anything.
Right. Okay. I mean, look, if it's an obvious touchdown, you throw the ball over the middle, the guy catches on the 20, he runs 10, 15, or 15, 10, touchdown, he's in, and it's obvious. They're going to give it a quick look upstairs. There's really nothing to see. It's a touchdown. But they're going to give everything a look and determine that if they think it should be looked at, tell the official down on the field. Now, if you have a game in which it's 42-35 and there are a lot of close calls on the goal line,
yeah,
the game's going to get extended.
That sounds like
it's
trouble.
It's going to be maybe 5 minutes longer, I think.
Okay, let's talk about the new kickoff rule and why that means so many more touchbacks this season.
Because they're moving it up to the 35. They're moving
from
it
the
from
30.
30 up to the 35. And when you have, let's take the Raiders, for example, Sebastian Janikowski,
sure,
who could split the uprights from the 35. He really can.
Yeah, I know.
It's going to be
what?
Touchback after touchback.
Why are they doing that?
Safety.
Safety of the players from running out?
I think so.
Yeah.
Pretty much that's the issue. That's what they will tell you. They look at the injuries on kickoffs, and they say that if you have fewer violent collisions on those kickoffs,
yeah, I can see that.
That you'll have fewer injuries, fewer concussions. And it's not only that they're kicking from the 35. It used to be you could have a 10-yard head start behind the kicker. Now it's only a 5-yard head start. The other 10 guys on the kicking team,
right,
have to line up on the 30, and they can't go back beyond that.
I see.
Okay. Andrew, this is the voice of Andrew Siciliano here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the upcoming NFL season. Has any sport had more rule changes year after year after year than the NFL?
They do consider a lot of things every year, and they do tweak the rules every year. The majority of the rules, they will tell you that they tweak, are safety issues. Like,
okay,
for example, here's another one. This year, last year, if you touch the quarterback's helmet in any way, shape, or form, incidental or otherwise, it was 15 yards.
Right.
So if I reach up to try to bat down your pass, and on the follow-through, my hand grazes the back of your helmet, by definition, that's 15 yards. And you would have Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, or even your lowest quarterbacks turn to the referee and say, hey, he hit me.
Right.
Even though it wasn't violent, there's no injury.
That's absurd, though, right?
Right. Okay. This year, they, in the interest of fair play, add the word forcible to the rule. So it has to be a forcible blow to the head,
okay,
and it gives the referee some discretion. Most of the rule changes, they will tell you, are for safety only, and they try to make it a safer game when you have guys getting knocked out left and right, and
right,
and we're so concerned about concussions these days.
And what they're trying to do is they're trying to avoid the guy who's trying to pull the guy's head off. They're not trying to avoid the guy who accidentally brushes it with the back of his hand. I mean, that does
exactly.
that just makes a lot
sense.
Of sense.
I mean, we saw plays last year, or drives. Guys, the teams had a drive die. Just flat out die. The series is over. They got a punt, but somebody accidentally scraped the back of the quarterback's head.
Right.
15 yards, we keep playing.
Right.
We don't need that.
Are the last question for you, Andrew, and that is, you mentioned September 11th as the full slate of
mm-hmm.
games. Tell me that the New York Giants are going to be playing at home, and how emotional is that game going to be on the 10th anniversary of 9/11?
They're actually, in that very first game, they are playing the Redskins in Washington. The Jets are at home,
okay,
with the Cowboys, but you hit on something. They did not want September 11th, the 10th anniversary, to be a day without football, whether it's in New York or Washington or
mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh,
right,
or anywhere. They
right.
did not want that. It was embarrassing enough with people, you know, sniping at each other back and forth in the media on both sides, at least initially the first couple of weeks of the lockout. They did not want to drag this onto September 11th and just add that insult to the already massive economic injury at that point if there had been no football.
Right, right.
And it's vital. It was vital to get those teams back on the field.
So September 11th will be your first Red Zone on DirecTV, too, right?
It will be. DirecTV.com for more information, of course.
Andrew Siciliano, always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. Thank you for the time.
Missed you guys.
It is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Taking a look at the showbiz beat in for Ralph Garman. We start with a giveaway. This film is called One Day, another best-selling book. Anne Hathaway is in this. She's Catwoman, don't you know, along with Jim Sturgess, who I guess leads to the ladies' love from something, that guy?
Yeah, he's cute.
Giving you a chance to see the movie before it opens in theaters next Friday, a week from Friday. You can see it on Tuesday, August 23rd at the AMC CityWalk Cinemas. Also, you get passes to the film. You get a gift card to Buca di Beppo. You get tickets to Universal Studios. All of that for you right now at 1-800-520-1067. Fascinating idea for a book and a movie, by the way, because they see what a couple is up to on the same date every year for 20 years.
Hmm.
I think that sounds really interesting. It's sort of like seeing the paths that their lives take and how they end up back together.
It's cool for the good guy, like the person that comes out ahead.
Right.
Right, exactly. It would be miserable for my poor bride, for instance, because every year she's just more depressed than the year before that we're still married. But you can find out more about experienceoneday.com, or you can call us at 1-800-520-1067. Two pairs of tickets right now.
All right, let's talk about That's So Raven actor Orlando Brown. Now, I wouldn't normally mention him, but he was busted Friday night after officers pulled him over for driving without a license plate. And then they smelled alcohol, and then he, you know, didn't pass the field sobriety test, and they arrested him for DUI, and he posted $15,000 bail. The part of the story that's funny, though, according to TMZ, is that the cops pulled him over in front of his house.
Oh, my gosh, he got that far?
Now, either they were following him for a long time, or they were just waiting for him to get in the car and drive.
I see. Yeah, yeah.
Right in front of his house. How that embarrassing is weird. Would that be? Like, all your neighbors would see, and you're touching your nose, and you're walking the line.
And failing.
In front of your house. That's bizarre.
That is really weird.
Yeah. Tons of marriages, tons of engagements, tons of babies in Hollywood announced over the weekend. Here's a bizarre coincidence. 40% of the co-hosts of The View got married this past weekend. Sherry Shepherd, who's the not Whoopi Goldberg person on The View, and Joy Behar, who's the old, never-been-funny lady on The View, both of them got married on the same day on Saturday, which is weird to me because wouldn't you think that you would want to be able to invite people that you work with on the show? Like, why would you have the weddings on the same day?
Have you watched The View?
Maybe they don't like each other. They don't want
those people there.
Well, maybe that's the case. So Sherry Shepherd has been dating a reasonable amount of time. They got married. Joy Behar has been dating for 29 years to this man. They've been engaged since 2009. They got married on Saturday. So that's wedding number one, wedding number two. Brooke Burke, who you know, the very popular model and actress, got married to former Baywatch star David Charvet. They said, "I do," over the weekend. Tara Reid got married over the weekend, and hers was bizarre, too, as it unfolded on her Twitter account. She tweeted from Greece, where she was on vacation with her boyfriend, "I just got engaged." An hour later, she tweeted, "Greece married."
What?
So, apparently, it was a very short engagement.
She moved fast.
They got engaged, then immediately ran off and found someplace to get married. Wait, there's more. Heather Locklear, the beautiful actress, probably best known for Melrose Place, is now engaged to her real-life lover on that show, Jack Wagner. Now they're getting married.
Yeah, they seem like a good couple.
Have they been together on and off forever?
No, I don't think so. I think they don't even know.
They just got together super late in life.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because, of course, she used to be married to Tommy Lee. She was married to Richie Sambora from Bon Jovi. Now she's going to be married to Jack Wagner. Okay, so those are marriages. Those are engagements. Now babies. Check this out. Hilary Duff, Lizzie McGuire herself, is pregnant. She, of course, has been married for 1 year to an NHL star named Mike Comrie. Also, Tina Fey had a baby over the weekend. That's her second. And they did a pretty good job of covering that up on 30 Rock, by the way. I mean, they had to do a little bit of "I'm carrying groceries in a big purse." But in general, you couldn't tell with Tina. It didn't look like she gained very much weight. She has given birth to another baby girl. This one is named Penelope. And, of course, her older sister is now five, named Alice. Her husband, by the way, Jeff Richmond, is the guy who does all of the music on the show. He's a composer, and he does the theme music and the incidental music throughout the program. So a lot of very happy people in Hollywood today, I'm happy to report.
This story about Coco Chanel, and I would not normally bring up a designer.
No, you wouldn't.
Because, like, I care.
Wow, first you're bringing up That's So Raven, and now you're bringing up Coco Chanel. What's going on with you, Kevin?
New York Post Page 6 gossip columnist reports that there's a journalist named Hal Vaughn who is coming out with a new book. Now listen to this. Coco Chanel apparently worked as a Nazi spy in the 40s.
Really?
I've heard that before, by the way.
What?
I have heard that before. But what are the new allegations
here? She was introduced to the movement by her lover, Baron Hans Gunther von Dicklenschage.
He doesn't sound German. Can I hear that name again, please?
Baron Hans Gunther von Dicklenschage. I'm not positive I'm saying that right.
That's awesome.
He apparently was very close to Hitler. So they introduced, her nickname was Westminster. I don't know, maybe. I don't know.
You mean her nickname or her spy name?
Her spy name.
Wow.
Her official title was Agent F7124, and apparently Hitler wanted to own Chanel No. 5 perfume at one point. What's going on in this book?
What?
What's happening?
That's crazy.
You've heard that rumor?
That is crazy.
You've heard that?
I have heard that rumor before. I heard that she was very, I mean, she's had trouble in the past because she has been looked at as a Nazi sympathizer who was active at the time. Because she's super old. Isn't she like 90 or something,
yeah.
Lisa Coco Chanel?
I thought she
was
might
dead.
Be dead. Yeah.
Yeah. How about that? That's
that bizarre.
Here's another scandal we haven't had a chance to mention today. You know, the old joke is, and unfortunately, it comes out to be true, is that if a Democrat is involved in a sex scandal, it's always with another woman. If a Republican is involved in a sex scandal, it's almost always with another man.
Mm-hmm.
And lately, we've seen quite a few of the Republican sex scandals that are gay sex scandals. The latest is Indiana Representative Philip Hinkle. He had responded to a Craigslist post in the casual encounters section, offering a young man $80 plus tip for a really good time at the Marriott Hotel.
All right.
He, of course, recently voted for a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage. So he wouldn't marry the dude, but he would hook up at a hotel with him. The 18-year-old who posted the original ad that the congressman was responding to was seeking a sugar daddy. He tells a newspaper that he met with the congressman, but tried to leave when he found out who he was, which I thought was kind of curious, by the way. Like, why? Why would you not want to go through with it just because this person turns out to be a congressman, I wonder?
Maybe because...
Scandal?
Yeah.
So you probably don't want to be wrapped up in the scandal.
He claimed that the congressman protested and then exposed himself and later gave the boy an iPad, a BlackBerry, and $100 cash to not speak about the encounter.
I'd let him show me for that.
Apparently that didn't work.
You don't have to do anything.
The congressman tells the Star newspaper that he is a victim of a shakedown, did not elaborate. So it is remains to be seen, I guess, how much of this pans out as being true. But that is the early reports, that's what's going on with a representative from Indiana.
Snooki back in the news. New York Post page 6 did an interview. She admits that maybe she should have thought of learning Italian before heading to Florence.
Huh.
That is just now occurring to her.
Because they speak Italian over there.
She apparently, quote, had no idea what was going on. I think that's true here as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And was shocked to discover that there's like a whole nother world out there. So that's Snooki doing some interviews.
Excellent.
And finally, I've got some fantastic news for you. If you've never seen the film Winnebago Man.
Oh, love it.
Winnebago Man, we love so much. Of course, we had the filmmaker on and we had the man, Jack, that they made the documentary about. This was a guy who was trying to film an infomercial to sell Winnebagos. And he could not remember any of the lines. He couldn't ever get anything straight. He was falling apart. He was miserable. Here's a little bit of the audio, and then I'll tell you how you can see it free for the next 10 days.
The Winnebago Concepts and Engineering Departments have developed a multifunctional bathroom. Privacy, I don't even know what the f*** I'm reading. I wonder what the f*** the real dialogue is. What the f*** is this thing? All of the windshield, for f*** sake. Oh, what? What the f*** did I say? That didn't sound for f***. Did it? Know what the f- I'm saying?
and it goes on like that, and these people just fell in love with this as an internet sensation. They fell in love with this outtakes video, and they said, "We've got to find this guy." And sure enough, they tracked him down and found out what it was like for him and what his life was like now being this guy.
You are getting on in years.
You and the horse you rode in on.
Thank you.
I wonder how you're going to feel about this when you're f***ing 80 years old.
So that's the kind of guy you get when you're dealing with the Winnebago Man. Anyway, the movie is showing free for the next 10 days on Hulu. It is already the number one most popular movie on Hulu. And if you want to watch it free, if you've never seen it before, you do yourself a favor and you will have a fantastic time watching Winnebago Man. It is an outstanding documentary.